trouble we got notes on.
We got notes.
In anticipation of Purim, I'd like to go through some of the halachas that are not that well known. Generally speaking, everybody knows about reading the Megillah, about Shalach Manas, Matanas Labyam, and so on. So we'll go through some of the dinim that are not that well known. This year, because Purim falls out on Sunday, and the Tainis Esther should really turn out to be on Shabbos, so of course we're not permitted to fast on Shabbos. The only Tainis that we fast on Shabbos is Yom Kippur. That's a Thomas Menatur, and even that the Sifro learns out from a Pasuk that you have to fast when Yom Kippur falls out on Shabbos. And if not for the Pasuk, we would have thought that it's forbidden, that you wouldn't fast on Yom Kippur. So when the Tanis of Tanis Esther falls on Shabbos, so we fast earlier, we fast the week before. The Shaila is that normally the Mishnah tells us in Megillah in the first parak when the Tanis falls out on Shabbos, let's say Tisha B'Av falls out on Shabbos, or Shavuos B'Tammuz falls out on Shabbos, so you fast afterwards. And the Gemara explains why, because Avdumi Poran Nusa Loi Magdiminan. So why doesn't this apply to Tanis Esther as well? So the Mefarshim explained that the reason really doesn't apply, that the Tanesim of right, Tanesim of no, why not fast after Purim? Why? Why the purpose gone? Fast afterwards, yeah? No. So the explanation is because it says the Rishonim explain why, because there's a major difference between Tanis Esther as opposed to the other Tanesim. Asura Batavis and Sam Gedalia and Shavasa Batamuz and Tisha B'Av are Tanesim of Puranas. These are Tanesim of Avelus. They were all instituted in the days of the 7 years of Golus Bavel because of the Churban HaBayit. So the Gemara says that fasting these Tanesim is an act of Kiyum Avelus. It's a Nihug Avelus. So if you have Avelus on a certain day and you can't observe that Avelus on that day because it's Shabbos and you don't fast on Shabbos, or for whatever reason you can't observe the Avelus on that day, so the Gemara has a klal, Agdumi Puranusa Loi Magdiminum. You don't introduce the Puranus, you don't introduce the Avelus earlier. Either you forget about the Avelus and Gansen, or you push it off. You always push off Avelus to some later date. You don't introduce Avelus earlier. Masha'ini Kain, on the other hand, Tainus Esther, the Rishonim have a kasha, the Baal Hamor, and the Yeshkol, and other Rishonim ask a kasha, how are you permitted to fast on the day before Purim? The Gemara has a klal that the Yom Tovim listed in Megillas Tainus in the days of the second day Samigdash, they had a Megillas Tainus. It was a book. There was a set of Mishnayos that had a list of all of the Yom Tovim for every month, for Nisan, for Iyar, Sivan, Tammuz. So the Yom Tovim of Chanukah and Purim are the only two Yom Tovim that have remained from that Sefer of Megillas Tainus. That's how the Gemara says in the first paragraph of Rosh Hashanah that all the Yom Tovim of Megillas Tainus were batlu at the time that the Churban Beis HaMikdash occurred. Because all the Yom Tovim had to do with the celebration of Binyan Habayis, or with the fixing up of the Avodah, or the donation of new gates and so on, fixing up something in the Beis HaMikdash, or protecting or preserving the Beis HaMikdash. And all of, when the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed, so all of these celebrations went down the drain, with the two exceptions, the Gemara says, of Chanukah and Purim. That these two, with respect to Chanukah and Purim, is said that Megillas Tainus is like Botla. So the Raisa says in Megillas Tainus that on these Yom Tovim we're not permitted to fast. That's why it's called a Yontav, that it's also a Tainus. That's why it's called Megillas Tainus. This Megillah lists off all of the holidays when one is forbidden to fast. So on Chanukah and Purim, one is not allowed to fast. And with Tnehim Liachareim, the day before and the day after, one is also not permitted to fast. So the Shad is that we fast all the time. We fast Tainus Esther, Mamish, the day before Purim. So different answers are given by the Rishon. So Halacha L'Maaseh in the Shulchan Aruch says that since Bizman Azeh, the whole set of Megillas Tainus is Batla. We don't observe all the other Yom Tovim. The only two that have remained are Chanukah and Purim. So we pass from Halacha that only on the Yom Tov itself, on Chanukah Gufa, and on Purim Gufa, one is not permitted to fast, one is not permitted to say a Hespit. But on the day before, the day after, the din is that one is permitted to fast. That's a person who has Yartzeit, that whatever, he wants to fast, an Eis Tzor, whatever it is. So Mikra Din, it says in the Shulchan Aruch that Bizman Hazel, Lefneihim, Leachreihim, the day before, the day after, Chanukah and Purim, one is allowed to fast, Bizman Hazel. Places, however, has two opinions about this in Menachas, and many other Rishonim disagree, and they say that theoretically it should be forbidden to fast Lefnei Meleachreihem of Chanukah and Purim as well. So the question is, but we do it all the time. We fast by an ancestor. So the Sefer HaEshkol, by the Ravid HaRishon, who was the father-in-law of the Raivad Hasheni, the regular Raivad on the Rambam. There were three Raivad. Shach points out in the other day, there were three people who were known as the Raivad. So one was known as the Raivad, he was the Rav Av Bezn. His name was not Ben David. His name was Rabin Avram Av Bezn of Narbona. And he was the father-in-law of the Raivad, who was Rabin Avram Ben David. And there was another Raivad who was a historian, who wrote the Sefer HaKabbalah, which is it. So the Shach points out in the other day that sometimes there are contradictions between what some Rishonim quote and the name of the Raivad, what other Rishonim quote. So the Shach says there are three different Raivads. So you always have to see whether you're speaking about the same person or not. Usually that's the answer to most of the contradictions. There are two different people speaking, so there's no steer. So in the Sefer HaEshkol, by the Raivad HaRishon, he writes that this is the answer to the Kasha. How is one permitted to fast time as Esther on Erev Purim, if one assumes that Lefneim Achreim is forbidden, even Bizman Hazeh, even though the Megillah's time is his Batla? So he answers, when do we not allow Taneisim on the day before the day after Yom Tov of Megillah's time is? That's only if it's a Taneis of Avelis, a Taneis of Tsar, a Taneis of Ayortzeit, which is also has to do with a Tsar. So that we wouldn't allow the day before the day after Chanukah and Purim. But the Taneis Esther is a Taneis Shel Simcha. That's the Lashon that he writes. And other Rishonim write that Lashon. The Meiri writes the same Lashon. The Meiri came from the same section. The Meiri and the Balamor and the Sefer HaEshkol and the Rav, they came from this area in Europe that is called Narbona.
So he was Tar, which she was really under duress.
No. So the Rishonim explained that they had fasted the day that they were fighting with their enemies. That was the practice, that they were going to Tainus based sorrow. And then HaKadosh Baruch Hu listened to their prayers, and they won the war. And they beat out all the enemies. So since their prayers were answered when they were fasting, so is Nikvaladuras as a day of Simcha, that we should celebrate the Simcha Nitzach and HaMachama by fasting today, and being Mispal HaKadosh Baruch Hu on Tainus Esther, that just as HaKadosh Baruch Hu answered our prayers and our fasts at that time, so too you should answer our prayers and our fasts today.
You would be living in the same chronology
at that time. It was at some
later,
the Gemara is yeah. It's not Taina, but the Rishonim say this distinction that the other four Taneisim are Avelis Dik. It's because of the Churban HaBayis that we fast out of an act of Avelis. Moshe'ni came, Tainus Esther is a Tainus Shal Simcha because the Tainus worked and our prayers were answered. So we fast today, we are Mispao that our prayers should be answered again.
Why do you fast the Shul that prayers on Friday and not Tainus Esther?
That's what we'll get to. One minute. We'll get to that. No, she fasted on Pesach. That is different. Unrelated. No, unrelated. So this is what the Rishonim explained. We'll get to it. One minute. We'll get to it. So that's a good kasha. We'll explain why. Offhand, it's a good kasha. We'll get to that. So the Rishonim explained that when do we not allow Akdumi Poranusa? When do we say that it doesn't make sense that if a person has to observe Avelis on a certain day and he cannot, so we postpone the Avelis. If anything, we either forget about the Avelis or we postpone it, but we don't introduce it at an earlier Zman. We are not Makdim Poranus, we are not Makdim Avelis. That's only if it's a Tanis Shel Avelis, like Tisha B'Av, Asura B'Tevis, or the others. But since Tainus Esther is a Tainus Shel Simcha, so the Klal of Akdumi Poranusa doesn't apply. It's a Tainus Shel Simcha. So we fast in advance. There's nothing wrong. I ask the Kasha, so why don't we fast on Friday? What's wrong with fasting on Friday? So the answer is, what does God do with fasting on Friday? And if it would be, let's say, if it would be Avelis, so you wouldn't be allowed to fast on Friday. We fast, let's say,
so the
tables is the only furnace that can fall out according to our calendar. But Bizman HaGemara, before Rabbi Yudin Nisiyah, the grandson of Rabbi Yudin Nasi, before Rabbi Yudin Nisiyah was Kovea the Luach, before he established the calendar as we have it. So the Gemara records that in the days of Rabbi Akiva, Tisha B'Av fell out on Friday, and there was a dispute whether they're permitted to fast the whole day or not. The Gemara says the following explanation. The Meiri quotes this in his Sefer Mogen Avos. The Meiri lived in this section of Europe that was in between France and Spain. And they had different minhagim. They didn't follow all the minhagim of Spain. They didn't follow all the minhagim of France. They had a hybrid, like minig hotatka. It's a hybrid. It's a little here, a little there. So the Ramban lived in Barcelona. So when he passed away, his Talmidim were looking for a Rebbe. So they came to Provence to learn there. So So there was a lot of friction then, because they had different shittas and different minhagim. Halacha ma'aseh, norachan, had a davenin, had to say krishma, and so on, had a bench, had to say brachas. And the Meiri wrote a whole sefer entitled Magen Avos. Magen Avos means to protect the minhag avos, to defend the minhagim that they had in Provence for the last 100 years or whatever, to show alti halacha that there is gehalti. So he has 24 topics, 24 short essays in this sefer Magen Avos. So he speaks about saying Kel Melach Nemon before he starts saying Kriya Shema. So some had a minig yes to say, some had a minig not to say. Or let's say when Tisha B'Av falls out on Sunday, do you say Havdalah on Sunday night? Or do you say Havdalah on Shabbos afternoon before Shabbos is over? Do you not say Havdalah at all? Or do you say Havdalah on Matzoy Shabbos and give the wine to a child before Bar Mitzvah to drink? Different shitas. So he quotes, that was one of the big machlekes. Or when you have dessert at the end of the meal, do you say Baruch Pihu Eitz on the dessert, or is it covered with the Hamoitzi, because you always have dessert. The same machlokes that we have today, that's what they had 600 years ago. Same machlokes. So he has this short sefer Magen Avos. So the 23rd topic out of the 24 is about this Shiloh. When Purim falls out on Sunday, when do you observe Tainus Esther? So we know we observe Tainus Esther in advance. We don't postpone it because it's a Tainus Shal Simcha. It's not a Taina Shal Avelis. We don't apply the Klal Avdumi Poranusa, but the Shaila is how far in advance. So they may as well fast on Friday. What's the problem? So the Miri says that in Provence, the practice was that they would fast Taina Fester on Friday. They wouldn't fast on Thursday. Then when the Ramban passed away, his Talmidim came from Spain. So they got all excited, they got angry. How can you fast on Friday? The Gemara has a Machlekes in Erevin that we just mentioned on Daf Mem on the days in Erevin. When Tisha B'Av fell out on Friday, the Gemara says, now it can't. Or let's say, Bizman Hazeh, Asara B'Tavis, every couple of years falls out on Friday. So when you this past year, no? So when Asara B'Tavis falls out on Friday, are you Misano or Mashkum? Or let's say a person has Yartzeit on Friday. Or the Gemara has Hani Debei Rav, the Talmidim and the Yeshiva used to fast on Friday. What in the world were they fasting on Friday for? The Gemara doesn't explain it. So the Meiri explains in the Magen Avos, in this Sefer, he says at the end of the week they would chaza everything that they learned the whole week. So instead of having a mishma on Thursday night, their mishma was all day Friday. My yeshiva, they don't learn at all on Friday. A lot of European yeshivas also, Friday was the day nobody learned. So the Miri writes that in the days of the Gemara, that's Pshat in the Gemara in Erevin, in the days of the Gemara, Friday was the day that was miyuchat for extra special learning. They learned all day long, no breakfast, no lunch. They would fast the whole day in order to learn all day b'li hafsoke, and they would fast. So the Gemara has a machlokes, Hana de Bei Rav, the Talmidim in the yeshivas, who are learning all day on Friday and they want to fast, are they obligated to eat a little bit before Shabbos comes in? Because just like one is not permitted to fast on Shabbos, it's not covered Shabbos, you have to have oinig Shabbos, so too one is not permitted to enter Shabbos kishehu meune, when he is starved. You're not supposed to be full, you're not supposed to have a big banquet on Friday afternoon in order to be, when it comes Friday night, you won't be Lo yochel l'teyoven, he won't eat the Shabbos dikin meal l'teyoven. You're not permitted to eat a big meal, and many have the practice not to eat anything after chatzos. They don't eat any bread, they don't wash. But the Gemara has a shaila: is one obligated to have a little bit? Is one obligated to eat a little bit on Friday afternoon before Shabbos, in order that when it comes Friday night he shouldn't be starving, because that itself will constitute a bizoyin Shabbos that is nichnas l'Shabbos kishehu meuna. Or do you say no? He'll make kiddush and he'll eat. What's it gefell? After tzeis ha'kaham, he'll come home from shul. Make kiddush and he'll eat. So what's wrong? So if the first half an hour of Shabbos he'll be starved. Nish gefell. So the Gemara has this machlekes hatanoim. In the days of Rabbi Akiva, Rabbi Akiva says that the Gemara quotes the story. Rabbi Akiva ate an egg on erev Shabbos when it was Tisha B'Av. He ate an egg. He didn't put any salt on it because he didn't want the Talmidim to think that he's enjoying the meal. But he wanted to demonstrate to them that the din is that you have to eat, even though it's Tisha B'Av. Any tonus that falls out on Friday, Nisana ve'eno mashlim. You're permitted to fast on Friday, but you're not permitted to be mashlim. The fast up until Tzeis HaKacham, you must break the tonus in advance. So he didn't eat ice cream, and he didn't eat flesh, and he didn't eat anything that was really good. He ate the egg without putting on salt. The Gemara stresses that just to show that he didn't want to be nichnas kishehu me'une. And then the Gemara says, the Gemara comes to the conclusion against Rebbe Akiva, that the majority of the Tanoim disagree. And they say that when the Tanis falls on a Friday, the din is Misana Umashlim. You fast the whole day.
Are you talking about Tisha B'Av there?
The Gemara is talking about Tisha B'Av. The Gemara talks about Tisha B'Av and about the Talmidim and Yeshiva who used to be Mekabel Tainus on Friday for Hasmala purposes. So you see that the Gemara equates the two, that it's all the same, whether it's a Tainus at Tzibur or it's a tainus ayochid, sounds like yortzeit, any tainus at all would be the same shaila. Whether mistanu or mashlim, that you are permitted and required, mainly you are required to fast till the end of the day, or mistanu v'eino mashlim, that you're not permitted to fast till the end of the day. That's the shaila. So the Gemara passes l'alocha that when you have a tonus on Friday, mistanu mashlim, that you do fast to the end of the day. So that's what the Miri writes. What's the problem? So in Provence, they used to fast Tainus Esther on Friday. Whenever Purim fell out on Sunday, they would fast Tainus Esther on Friday. So the Talmidim of the Ramban said, no, that's only if it turns out like that. Tisha B'Av falls out on Friday. What can you do? But if you're moving it, if it's already Shaloi Bismana anyway, Tainus Esther really falls out on Shabbos. You're not allowed to fast on Shabbos, only Yom Kippur. So you're moving it ahead. So why move it ahead to Friday? You see from the Gemara, there was a Machlokes HaTanoim, whether you're permitted to fast the whole day on Friday or not. So obviously, and even though we pass in Allah and Misano Mashlim, you do fast till the end of the day. When Asar B'Tavis falls on our Friday, a person has Yartza, usually we do fast till the end of the day. But from the Gemara, would appear that it's something you should always try to avoid. So if it's a Yartza, you can't avoid it. If it's Asar B'Tavis, you can't avoid it. But if it's Taina Sesta, which you're moving anyway, so instead of moving it to Friday, move it to Thursday. And that's our practice, that we move it to Thursday. Rav Soloveitchik says over that he remembers that his grandfather, Rav Chaim, was a Levi. So he wouldn't want to take the Aliyah on Thursday, when it would be Tainus Esther on Thursday instead of Friday. So he was chosh, and Yelein Baichal. And if the Tonus is really supposed to be on Friday, like the Miri had the practice in Provence, so you're not supposed to lay Baichal, supposed to lay Parshas Tzav. And then to Mincha, there's no Kriya at all. On Thursday, a regular Thursday afternoon, you don't lay to Mincha, only if it's a Tainus Tibur, you lay Baichal. So Abchaim was a big machmer at everything. So Abchaim didn't want to take any aliyahs when it was Taina Sest, the Shech aliyahs on a Thursday, because maybe it's Bracha Vatol, maybe they're lighting the wrong thing. But Lahaloch in Shulchanot, that's how we pass. But they do quote this a little bit. They quote, the Ramos says in Shulchanot, what if a person didn't feel well on Thursday? Or what if a person attended a bris, a simcha attended a bris, he's allowed to eat? So then he says, they fast on Friday. Why? Because there's a machlekes when he's supposed to fast Taina Sest this year. But the Thursday or Friday, so he says, whoever didn't fast on Thursday should fast on Friday. Yeah, and you should fast at the end of the day. The same problem. When you make the siyum on Thursday, so then you've satisfied the one opinion. Then the Shailas now you should have to fast on Friday because of the other sheepis, because of the Miri sheep. So she really have, that's where Rav Soloveitchik says, she really have a double siyum. One siyum on, it's hard for the Rabbanim, that's going to the sifters. One siyum for Thursday, one siyum for Friday.
Why do we even put it so
that? Yeah, the brace is good.
Why do we even put it back with Friday?
We never fast. But originally the minute used to be that people used to fast. I don't know. Interesting question. There is a din in the Shulchan Aruch that Ketanim, Mishnah and Yuma, in the Shulchan Aruch quote, that the children before Bar Mitzvah are required to fast Mitam Chinuch and Yom Kippur. That depending how strong they are, if they're healthy, strong children, like normal kids in America, big fat kids that eat a lot of food and candy and everything, so 2 years, either 1 or 2 years before the Bar Mitzvah, they have to fast the whole day. If they are gesund, they fast the whole day 2 years before, and if they're not so healthy, then only 1 year before Misana Mashma. If they're really sick, then you don't require of them chinuch. And then, either 1 or 2 years before that, they fast half a day. So the Mishnah Brura quotes in the name of the Prima Gadim and many other poskim that this idea of chinuch, haktanim, for fasting taneisim, only applies on Yom Kippur. Doesn't apply to Tisha B'Av and Shavasa B'Tamuz and Asar B'Tavis. Why not? So the Shagas Aryeh writes in one of his Torahim, and the Gurus Aryeh he writes on Tainus, that this is because we paskin that there's no avelus for Ketanim. Although there is Chinuch and all other mitzvahs, Menatorah, mitzvahs, Midirabbonah, mitzvahs, Midirikabolah, but we paskin aloha that a child before Bar Mitzvah doesn't observe Shiva. If he doesn't want, if he wants to, so you don't insist there. Let's say the child is brokenhearted, so he doesn't want to go to Yeshiva. He wants to cry his heart out. So then you let him sit Shiva. But if he doesn't want to, so it says in the Shulchan Aruch, we encourage the child to go to cheder and learn. What should he waste time for? The din is that there's no chinuch on avelos. Even if the kid is only a month before bar mitzvah, there's no chinuch on avelos. So the Shagas Ari says that for that reason, we don't insist on chinuch to have the children fast before bar mitzvah and Tisha B'Av and Asara B'Teves and so on, because these taneisim are taneis of avelos, and there's no chinuch on avelos. If that's the rationale, but then over here, by Tanis says that we should encourage the children before bar mitzvah that they should fast. And the other Tanaism says the fairs they don't fit. There's no machlekes on that. Some people have a minig, the two Tanaism before, three Tanaism before. There's no source for that. And Shulchan Aruch says there's no chinuch at all on the other Tanaism. And Tanis Esther doesn't say, so that's the shaila. If the reason why there's no chinuch on the other Tanaism is because it's avelis, and there's no chinuch on avelis, that's the reasoning that the Shagas Aryeh gives, then that reasoning doesn't apply to Tanis Esther. If the reasoning is the way other poskim say, you're not machmer on the children to fast Tanaism. Yom Kippur is different, that's Ben HaTorah. All the others are wrong with the Rabbanim, they're not Mahmoud. If that's the reason, then it applies as well to Tainus Esther. That's what Shailan did. On Shabbos, of course, we have to learn Parsha Zohar. And the Tesis, we learned in Brochus on the first half and the second parak that we're learning this year. Tesis and many other Rishonim say that they think Parsha Zohar is a mitzvah in HaTorah. Although normally Kriyas HaTorah is only with the Rabbanim. The Kriyas HaTorah every Shabbos and on Monday and Thursday and on Yom Tovim is only with the Rabbanon, all Pashtus. But Parsha Zohar should be read once a year, every year, according to many Rishonim, is a mitzvah in HaTorah. Sefer Achinuch is not sure. He thinks maybe you have to lane once in a lifetime, Parsha Zohar, maybe once every few years. He's not sure whether the mitzvah is really, or possibly maybe once a year, every year, because the Shir Shikha, the time it takes to forget something, is Yud Beis Chodesh. That's the lashon that the Gemara has with respect to an Aveda. That after a person has lost something for a year, so then he's going to forget about it. Then he'll probably be misyayish from the thing. But since the Gemara says that the Shir Shikha, the length of time that it takes usually to forget something, is Yud Beis Chodesh, and that's why we should require that we should lane Parsha Zohar once a year, every year, and in that way, not forget about the story of Amalek.
Aren't the also with the Hanpurim, with the Kriya that they have in Amalek?
That's a question, right? The Magen Avraham claims that the Kriya that we lay on Purim from Parshas Beshalach is also good Min HaTorah. It's also good. Right, that's what the Magen Avraham says. Right, another poskim who disagree, because in Parshas Beshalach it doesn't say Timche Ezech Amalek. It just says Emche Ezech Amalek. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says that I will get after Amalek. But it doesn't have the din that we should do anything about Amalek. In Parshas Kisetz it says Timcha Zech Amalek, that we have to wipe out the memory of Amalek. So many poskim disagree with the Magen Avraham, and they think that one wouldn't be yotze the mitzvah with the Kriya of Purim, but you would be yotze the mitzvah with the Kriya on Parshas Kisetz when you're laying the regular Zohar, when you're laying the regular Parshas Zohar. So the Mishnah Berurah points out a din. We must have mentioned it when we learned the Gemara. The Shulchan Aruch says in Hilchas Kriya Satoira that when a person gets an Aliyah, so really, the practice is not a Gemara. The Zman HaMishnah was that the one who got the Aliyah would say the brachas and would lane. The Iker is that he used to lane. Then Taisa says, the Zman is that we don't do this anymore. We don't allow it. We don't allow it. And we insist on having a Balkor lane for everybody. Why? Kadesh Alulavayesh is Mishani Yodeya. Some people will know Ivrit and some people won't know Ivrit. So the people who won't know, everybody will be laughing at the way they lane. So they'll be embarrassed to get an aliyah. So maybe they'll refuse to get an aliyah. They'll refuse to come to shul. They'll come late just in order to avoid laning and being the laughing stock of all the people in shul. So kadesh shalol levayishes misheni yadeya, in order not to embarrass the people who don't know how to lane properly. So we have the institution. That's what Tosfos writes in the Megillah. We have this institution of having a balkori. One balkori lanes for everybody, as we find in the Mishnah in Bikurim. That the farmers used to, who brings Bikurim? Farmers. They're not Talmidei Chachamim. They're sitting on the farm all day working. So they didn't know how to say Arami Yovid Ovi Vayereb Mitzrayim. So when they had to come to bring Bikurim, so they had to ask the Kohen and the Beis HaMikdash to say the Bikurim for them, that they should be able to Zognach. Arami, Arami, Ovid, Ovid, Ovi, Ovi. They would say word for word. It would be Yotze with Shemei Kohen. The Kohen would say Arami Yovid Ovi, and they would be Yotze with Shemei Kohen. So they would be embarrassed. And the Mishnah says in Bikurim, that many farmers stopped bringing Bikurim because they didn't want to suffer the embarrassment. So the Tanoim made a takana in the days of the Beis HaMikdash that whoever comes with Bikurim, whether he's an Amharitz or he's a super Talmud Chacham, you always have to have somebody else recite the Arami Yovid Ovi for him, Kedesh Shalol Abayishit Misheni Adeh, in order not to embarrass those who don't know how to say Arami Yovid Ovi. So Tesis says the same over here regarding Kriyas HaTorah, that we have the institution of having a Balkorei for everybody, and nobody lanes their own parasha, in order not to embarrass those who won't know how to lane. But really the din is that the one who gets the aliyah, the one who says the brachas, is really supposed to be the Baal Kori. So how is he fulfilling that requirement? With Shamea Kohenah. The Baal Kori lanes for him, and it's considered Shamea Kohenah as if he were laning himself. If it's Shamea Kohenah, so you really ought to say that there's no need that the one who gets the aliyah should lane along. So the Rosh comes up with a Chiddush. The Rosh of Megillah says no, that although the one who gets the aliyah, the old that relies on the Baal Kori's laning based on Shamea Kohenah, he should still lane along softly with the Baal Kori. What's the explanation of this? Why does he have to lane along softly if he says Shamea Kohenah for Kiddush and for Havdalah, for benching and for everything and Kol HaTorah Kulo? So why can't you say here Shamea Kohenah? Let the old rely on the Baal Kori who's laning for it. So it's a big problem. How do you explain the Rosh exactly? So halacha l'maisa, we task him, we'll make all on this.
The
it's difficult.
You're
supposed to hear the Baal Kori.
Two things I should let here is that he has to read it from the statement. And that's.
Let's say, like Kriyas HaMegillah. Let's say Kriyas HaMegillah. You have to read the Megillah also from the Sefer. We all rely on Shemei HaKoinah. It's considered Kriya Mitoch HaKsav. So why not say Shemei HaKoinah when you get an Aliyah as well? So we pass him that a blind person may get an Aliyah. Assuming he can't lane along, a blind person may get an aliyah. That's the tshuva from the Masas Ben Yamin. Masas Ben Yamin was a sumer. He was a saginah, he was blind. So he dictated a tshuva to his talmidim that he's allowed to get an aliyah. And they have it printed in the Masas Ben Yamin. So in the Shulchan Aruch they quote the tshuva of Masas Ben Yamin that a sumer may get an aliyah. But the Rosh says not so. The Rosh says that you're not permitted to give a sumer an aliyah, you're not permitted to give an amhoritz an aliyah, or whoever is not going to read along. What's exactly the explanation? We don't fully understand why. If he's saying Shemei Kohenah that the one who gets the Aliyah is considered as if he's laning because he's paying attention to the Baal Kori and he hears every word, and he's considered as if he were the Baal Kori today, so why do you require that he has to read along is the question. But that's the Chumrah of the Rosh. Right. So the question is, but we do it all the time by the Megillah. But it also has to be Mitoch HaKsav. If you read it from a Chumash, you're not Yoytze.
That's the difference between Megillah and Torah.
Okay. It's the beginning of a Pshat. It's not the whole Pshat. It's the beginning of a Pshat.
You can't give an Amharet and Aliyah. You can't give an Amharet and Aliyah.
No, he has to be able to read along. He doesn't have to be able to say the whole Trop and all the Ivra 100% correct. Right. Different levels. That's a question in Kriya Shema. That's a machlokas achronim, whether you say Shema kind of a Kriya Shema. We pass them that you can fulfill the mitzvah in other languages, but whether yes or no, that's irrelevant though. You can still say Shemei Kohenah. Shemei Kohenah is considered as if he said it in Hebrew, whatever language. That's the machlokes. Rabbi Mizrahi has a tshuva. He says that you say Shemei Kohenah by Kriya Shema as well. And others disagree. That's the machlokes Achamim, where they say Shemei Kohenah by Kriya Shema. Some pasuk hold you don't say Shemei Kohenah by Kriya Shema. Some hold they quote in the name of the Vilna Gaon that he comments on the first Mishnah in Brachas. Why does it say Mei Masai Korin as Hashma? Why is Korin Loshen Rabin? In a Maseches Megillah it says Hakorei is HaMegillah. One person is reading the Megillah, when it comes to Kriya Shema it says Korin as Hashma. So he says because one person reads the Megillah, the Baal Kori reads, and he's going to see everybody with Shemei Kohenah. But by Kriya Shema you don't apply Shemei Kohenah. That's why it says Korin is Hashma. Everybody has to say on his own. The deal itself is not so conclusive, but it's a machlokes achronim whether the din is that you say Shemei Kohenah or not. How do you say that? How can you insist that you don't say Shemei Kohenah on Kriya Shema? And how can you say Shemei Kohenah on Kiddush? How do you say Shemei Kohenah on benching and everything else? The question. But some insist that you don't say Shemei Kohenah and Kriya Shema. That's why some okay, that's what the Yerushalmi says. That's svara. If you're talking about Kabbalah, Malach Hashemayim, how can you rely on someone else? That's the Yerushalmi svara. But other poskim have this worded differently. They don't. That's the Vilna Gaon quotes the Yerushalmi in Rosh Hashanah. That when it comes to Kabbalah, Malach Hashemayim, how can you rely on someone else? He has to speak for himself. He has to be mekabel on his own. But other poskim, the Minchas Alozah, the Munkacha has a tshuva. He quotes those who disagree with the rebellion Mizrahi, and they hold that you don't apply, I think the Maram al Shakra, if I'm not mistaken, you don't apply Shemer Koine to Kriyashma, and he words it differently. He says because whenever it's a real mitzvah and atera of Amire, so Shemer Koine just means that I heard it, and listening is enough. But if the mitzvah is Amire, v'dibartabam, it's a mitzvah of Dibur. So how is Shmiya good enough? Like Kiddush, it doesn't say Amir, it doesn't say Vidibarta. It says Zachor Hashem Shabbos Lekatcha. It says Zachor Lahaskir. So even though you're not saying, if you hear from someone else, it's also good. You're participating. Benching up, it also doesn't say Verachto. It doesn't say Amir, but by Kriya Shema it says Vidibarta. So how can you say Shemaya Koine from today till next year? It's still not Vidibarta.
That should apply to Rami also. The doctor says and he's going to be a martyr.
Right.
Can you say these following words?
Right. So other Mefarshim say that the Mishnah Bikurim doesn't really say that the Kohen would say Arami Avodavi from the beginning to the end and the farmer would be Yotzev Shemei Kohen. The Kohen would say after me, Arami Avodavi. And he would say, Arami Avodavi. Vayerid Mitzrayimah. Vayerid Mitzrayimah. He would say word for word. They would say with everybody. Not that the Kohen would say everything. Right. The Mishnah says they had a sign for those who could read Ivrit without Nekudit. Those who couldn't read without Nekudit didn't help. The sign didn't help. They had a fancy sign on the wall.
He's supposed to know what you're saying also. A lot of times the rabbi says, say it for me.
That's what that's based on also.
Sure,
right.
Sure
right. Well, that you have to explain to him. So the Munkacha has in his tshuva, Minchas Alozah, he wants to say a chiddush. That whenever the Torah requires Amira Mamish, it says V'yoniso V'yomarta Babikur, or it says V'dibarta Bamini Tibur. How can you say Shemei Koine that it's considered as if he had spoken? He still stuff, he didn't speak. So he says if that's true, he claims that Parsha Zohar would be the same. But in Parsha Zohar, you couldn't rely on Shemei Koine because the Gemara in Megillah, Daf Yudalit, comments on the Pasuk in the end of Parsha's Kisetze, it says Zohar is a Shasulcha Molek, then it concludes Lois Ishkach. So if it says Lois Ishkach, so why does it have to repeat Zohar? So the Gemara explains. Yachol Belev Zachor, you should remember in your heart. I keep in mind. I read in my mind. I don't read, I don't pronounce the words. Yachol Belev Tom Malay Malay Sishkach, you shouldn't forget. So it already says Lai Sishkach. That's Belev. Haralei Belev Omer. Hamani Mekayim Zachor, Vipet. So once the Gemara Darshans, once the Bryce Darshans from the Pasuk that you can only fulfill Parsha Zachor, Vipet, so then you can't say Shemei Koina. So he has a Chiddush and he quotes some Poskim who say like that, La Locha. That when the Baal Kori lays Parsha Zohar on Shabbos, everybody should lay along softly from the Siddur, from the Chumash. So the other Poskim say that he's wrong, he's 100% wrong, that the Din of Shemei Koine does apply, that it's called Amirah, there's nothing wrong, and if you're laying along from the Chumash, you'll ruin the Mitzvah. Just like the Poskim say in Shulchan Aruch, they quote from the Rishonim, that if the Baal Kori is reading the Megillah from Akasha Megillah, and you have a printed Chumash, that you cannot be Yotzeh from a printed Chumash. So you should not read along with the Baal Korei. If you're going to read along, you won't be Yotzeh the Mitzvah of Kriyas HaMegillah. You have to lay Mitech HaKstav. Mitech HaKstav means from a Kosher Megillah. Because it's not Kosher. So the same is true on Parashat Zohar. Rav Avadya Yosef has an interesting shuvah where he quotes all of these Achrenim, the Munkacha and several others who say, an Einfall, that a few Sephardish Gedolim and a few Ashkenazish Gedolim independently of each other came up with such a wild Einfall that the whole Tzibur should lay along softly from the Chumash, from the printed Chumash, with the Baal Kori, Parsha Zohar, that you shouldn't say Shemei Koine on Parsha Zohar. So wild. So Rav Avadya Yosef quotes the later Poskim to say that it's wrong and it's Bedavka, it's going to ruin the Mitzvah. If you'll say along from a Chumash, you won't be Yotzeh, because the Rosh says explicitly in Brachas, later Brachas in Shlosha Shachlu, that Kriyas Parsha Zohar, their Raisa has to be with a minion and Mitech HaKlaf, from a Kosher Sefer Torah, and you have to have a minion. This time you're going to take out a Chumash. And lay in Parsha Zohar, you won't fulfill the mitzvah. You have to lay in the Afka from a Sefer Torah and with a minion. Let's say the women come later. The women miss the Parsha Zohar in the morning. So the women come later. So most of the poskim say that the women don't have to hear Parsha Zohar at all. This is basically a chiddush on Nas Nadla. That's the Rebbe of the Chassam Sefer, who lived originally in Frankfurt till they chased him out because he davened Nusach Stam. He said davened Nusach Hari. So that rubbed him the wrong way. So he was a big goyim. So he was the one who instituted that the women should come to hear Parsha Zohar. And the other Gedolim were very much against it. They didn't want to say his name and attack him because he was such an Adam Gadol. He was the Rebbe of the Chassam Sofer. Chassam Sofer used to swear by him. So they allude to him. They say they heard. They can't believe it that an Adam Gadol from Germany, and they give you all the simanim. His name begins with an N and it ends with an R. They give you the whole description. They don't say who it is, and they say they can't believe it that one of the Dalim said that women have to hear Parshas Zohar. It's against the Sefer Achinuch, and they quote all of the pasukim to say that's not. But because those women who are medaktik to hear Parshas Zohar, so when they have the separate minyan for the women, they have to have 10 men. You have to have a minyan, because if you don't have a minyan, so the Rosh says that you're not yet in the mitzvah. The mitzvah of Parshas Zohar is to learn davke mitoch aksa from a kosher sefer Torah and basara, and with a minyan of 10 men. So the women who are listening in are also yotzei, but you have to have a minyan of 10 men. You can't have a minyan of 10 women.
Is it enough just to open the sefer? Yeah. Why are you having 10 men, or does somebody have to get called up?
You mean to say a bracha?
Yeah.
That's a problem. That's a big problem. The Prima Godin claims, based on the Gemara that we learned in brachas in the second paragraph, that if you learn Parshas Zohar without a bracha, so you're not yet in the mitzvah. Because the Gemara said in brachas that when a person is mafresh truma and he doesn't recite the bracha is not miyakev in the kiyum mitzvah, because bracha is only the rabbanon and the mitzvah is the raisa. How can you say that the bracha is miyakev? So the Tosfos HaRosh comments on that Gemara. The Prima Godin quotes the Tosfos HaRosh on that Gemara in bracha, says the only reason why the bracha is not miyakev because the bracha is only with the rabbanon, the mitzvah is min haTorah. But what if you will have a mitzvah where the bracha is min haTorah? Namely, Birchas HaTorah. The Gemara learns out from the Pasuk that Birchas HaTorah is the Araisa. So if you fulfill Kriyas HaTorah, the Araisa of Kriyas HaTorah, like Parsha Zohar, without reciting Birchas HaTorah, so the Prima Godin says you will not be Yotze the Parsha Zohar.
Even though the one is a
mitzvah. Right, right. That's what the Prima Godin writes. Rabbi Chanan Wasserman has a whole tshuva that's printed in the Dvar Avraham explaining why it's not so. He writes, he's never come across any Pasuk who said that. He didn't say the Prima Godin on this simon, on the simon of Parshas Zohar, on Dal Parshas. So he's never come across any Pasuk who writes that you're not Yotze Parshas Zohar if you fail to recite the Brichas HaTorah from Arba Achrah. And I, why not? Why not say like the Tosfos HaRosh that whenever the brachas are raisa, then it should be Miyakeh? So he gives you several, he shakes out a few reasons why it's not always Galt. It's a different mitzvah, he explains the whole thing. Right, that's how Rabbi Yosef Engel quotes a whole has a whole essay in his Sefer Lekach Tov. He has 12 essays in Lekach Tov. So one of them is dedicated to this theme that a mitzvah is the Rabbanon. So the mitzvah is the Rabbanon and the bracha is the Rabbanon. So the bracha should be miyakim. And he quotes a Rashi in a Sukkah. He claims that Rashi says that. Has a whole discussion on that possibility.
Do the Rabbanon deal with the problem that it's been thousands upon thousands of years since Moshe and Asina, and there's so many different nations that we don't know from them, we don't know anything about them, and the only reason that we know about Amalek now is because we've got a pasuk that says Timkeh Zeh Amalek. So that it's a contradiction in terms, that if it wouldn't say anything about Amalek, then we would know from Amalek. But because we have the mitzvah Timkeh Zeh Amalek, now we know from Amalek.
No, the Torah tells us Zachar. Zachar means we should tell over the story every year, once a year. And then Timcha Zecher Amalek means not to leave it out, to delete it from the history books. No, Zachar means we should mention it, Lo Sishkaf, not to forget. We should tell the story, and if we find it, Amalek, it's a mitzvah to kill him. That's what Timcha Zecher Amalek means. It's a mitzvah to kill him. Right, the Rambam just writes that we probably will never find any Amaleki today because we can't identify who's Amon, who's Moab, who's Mitzrayim. We can't identify the original nationalities. So Lemaisa, the mitzvah of Mechiyas Amalek, of killing the Amalekim, doesn't apply anymore. But the mitzvah of telling over the story does apply. We have a zecher to the mitzvah of Tincha Zecher Amalek, the minik to clap Hamon. You have a minik that when they read the Megillah, so the Rambam writes, the minik is that you clap Hamon. It's interesting, some Achranim say the minig only applies, it doesn't apply every time you mention the name of Haman. It only applies when they say that Haman had his mapola. In a pasuk where it says Haman had his mapola, then you should clap Haman. But when it just says Gidal HaMelech has Haman, that's not a mapola, that's an aliyah. When it just says the other stories, the first 30 times that it says his name, it doesn't say any mapola. So Achranim say you're not supposed to clap Haman there. In the Haggadah, in the Shalom, the Kitzur Shalom, he writes like that. He's very much against this terrible minhag that they've expanded the klapan hamon. The Rambam discusses the possibility of being mevatel minhag completely. Maybe we should do away with the whole klapan hamon. The chamapsik and the people can't hear the kriyas hamegillah, so he says, no, a minhag is a minhag, and even though it's ktsas keneged adin, you're not permitted to be mevatel minhag. The whole shuv in the Rambam. The Rambam has a little bit in Shulchan Aruch, he alludes to it. But still, I call upon him that people have to be able to kriyas hamegillah. But then, later, the minhag has been expanded. they bring trumpets to shul and horns and they make pomon, guns and all kinds of noisy things, he says, with gunpowder. That's what the Shalom quotes, the Mogen Avraham quotes from the Shalom. A gunpowder and they explode it in the shul, the stuff mamish have sick in the middle of the Kriyas HaMegillah. Like in all the yeshivas today, and a lot of the shuls. So the Shalom and the other Rachim are very much against it. And then they say that the truth of the matter is that the real meaning only was to klap Haman when you read those psukim where they describe Haman's mapola. When his name is mentioned that he had a mapola, then you klap Haman. And that's a zeichet to the mitzvah, mechiyas amalek. But just like there's a mitzvah to kill an amaleki, so we kill the mention of his name when we're talking about his mapola.
Actually, last week there was a mitzvah that a cycle who wants to test the quill. Write the word Amalek to test the quill.
And he crosses it out.
But would it be a question of the mitzvah of Zman Grama?
It's not really a Zman Grama. If it's a mitzvah once a year, every year, that's not a Zman Grama. No. The question is, why should the women be exempt? That was not Nablus Taina. Why should the women be exempt? They're obligated. So they say because women are part of from fearing Muhammad. Women are part of from fighting in the army. You can't draft a woman into the army. He who's born is the Hari Baya, we can't draft the women. So therefore, since the whole mitzvah, Mechiyas HaMalek, is that everybody should know that they have to go to war and kill the Amalekim, so it doesn't apply to them. The Minhas Chinuch has a taina that it's not correct. The Minhas Chinuch has a taina that the women are not part of from Milchemes Mitzvah. The Mishnah says in Soito that if you have a Milchemes Horoshus, then the chasen is potter. It's not yila beis shana echos. The chasen is potter from the army. But if it's mochemis mitzvah, then the Mishnah says afilu chasen echadroi v'chalam echuposo. So it says beferish that the women do go to fight the mochemis mitzvah. That there is gius bonus. There is gius bonus if it's a mochemis mitzvah. No, and every time everything is mochemis mitzvah. So that's min haschinuch's taina. How can the sefer achinuch and others say that women are potter from reading parashas HaMolech because they're potter from mochemis, but mochemis mitzvah they're not potter from? So the Achareinim say that the Minhas Chinuch Kasha is a mistake, that the women are obligated to participate but not do the shooting. They cook the food, they do the paperwork, they deliver the mail, they do other things. Afilu chasa mechadroi goes to the front. Kala mechuposo goes to the kitchen. She does other things, yeah, but she doesn't do the shooting. That's what they say.
But it's as much as that's something by day, but it has to be clear.
I'm with
it, but it's not as nice,
but
from that point
it's not. Why? It's love that you can have
Kriyas
Atharabala. Why not?
Uh-huh.
We cannot be Mekayim today. We don't have Amalek. Yeah, we don't have Amalek. Right, right. To tell over the story.
If you're going to link to the women and the afternoon supper, would it be advisable to call three people?
No. Just like in the morning, you only call. You don't call up. No one says a bracha. You just read the parasha without a bracha.
But so what did you gain by it? So you didn't. You said.
I said the Prima Godin claims that if you're laying without the bracha, brichas atar, you're not yaitzei parasha zohar. But Rabbi Chanan Asmus says not so. He said that you are yaitzei. So Rav Nos Nagler, when he introduced the chumra to laying specially for the women, all the other gedolim were very much against it. And they held the women are not mechuyev, as it says in Rishonim, not mechuyev, so they held that it's improper to take out a sefer Torah just to lay for the women, a kriya that they're not mechuyev in. Whoever came in the morning is good, whoever didn't come, so you don't need it, that's what they tie. But those who follow the minhag of Rav Nos Nadler said they should lay without a bracha, not with a bracha. So I started to say the Mishnah Brura says that although all year long we are mekel, that we allow a person to get an aliyah, even though he's a sagi nohor, even though the person is a summa, he's blind and he cannot lay along with the balkorik, or a person can't read. They can't read from the Sefer Torah without Nekudas. He's unable to read from the Sefer Torah. Nevertheless, for Parshas Zohar and for Parshas Parah, since there are some opinions in Tesis and Rishonim that Parshas Parah is also Minat Torah, we should be makbid davka to have a person get the Aliyah who will be reading along with the Balkori. Because the Shulchan Aruch does say, in the name of the Rosh, that you should have the Ola laying along with the Balkori. Except that all year long we're mekel with the Masas Binyamin because Kriyas HaTorah is the Rabbana. No, so we're mekel. So we treat it as a sfeika the Rabbana. But for Parshas Zoch and Parshas Parah, we should really treat it as a sfeika the Raisa and insist that the one who gets the Aliyah should be one who really knows how to read Mitar Haksar. In fact, in many communities in Europe, the Rabbanim used to insist that they wanted Parshas Zoch. A lot of yeshivas, the Rosh Hashiva gets Parshas Zoch, the Mashgiach. I remember my yeshiva, Mashgiach Rav Lessons, all used to get Parshas Zoch. He's the lane himself. And many yeshivas, the Rosh Hashiva gets, the top Rosh Hashiva gets the Parshas Zohar. In fact, the father of Rav Kook writes in his autobiography an interesting story that he made a deal with his father used to be a Rav, so his father always used to get Parshas off. He told the Gabbai that he wants Parshas off, and then when he became a Rav, the Aderes, the father of Rav Kook, he also told his Gabbai, who was a Rav in Ponovich, then a Rav in Lier, big killer. So he told his Gabbai that he wants to get Mafter on Parshas off. So Punkt on Parshas off, one of the Balabatim bought Shlishi, and he told the Gabbai, call up the Rabbi for Shlishi, so they called him up for Shlishi. So that strictly speaking, the din is that he can take Shlishi and Mafter. He can take both also, even though it's the same person. But it doesn't look nice. He's going to grab all the aliyahs. It's embarrassing. So he had the shaila, what should he do? So he remembered that his father also had such an asik. That his father told the Gabbai he wanted Mafter on Parshas Zohar. And by mistake, the Gabbai called him up for Shlishi. So he remembered that his father went up for Shlishi and he told the Gabbai, call my son up for Mafter. Because I want to make sure that the one who gets Mafter is going to be laning along, mitech haklaf, like he lived before he died, I think, before the Mishnah Berurah was published. He wrote a sefer, he wrote his autobiography before the Mishnah Berurah, but he said the same cheshbon as the Mishnah Berurah. That for Parshas Zohar and Parshas Parah, the one who gets the aliyah should be one who's able to read along with the Baal Korah. So the father, the Aderes writes that his father had such a situation. So he took the shlishi and he told the Gabbai, make sure you give my son Mafter. And he added on, Bakol Adam Iskanei, Chutz Ben Bnei Mitalmida. That he's not jealous of his son, he's not jealous of his Talmud. Give my Talmud what I consider the better aliyah, namely the Mafter. Because the Mafter is the real Kriya Deraisa. So I would have liked to have the Mafter Parshas Zohar, but my father finally called me up for Shlishi. When this happened to the Aderes, he had the same predicament. He wanted Mafter on Parshas Zohar, and the Gabbai by mistake called him up for Shlishi. So he was thinking on the spur of the moment, he remembered what happened with his father, and he decided not to take Shlishi. He told the Gabbai, call up someone else, I'm going to take Mafter. So then he was nervous, maybe he made a mistake, because the din is you're not permitted to refuse an aliyah. The Gemara says in Brachas, when they call you up to the Torah, you have to run. Shlosha Dvorim, the Gemara says, three things are Makatzer and Yomru Veshnais of Shalodom, cause a person to die earlier, and one of them is, if they call you up to an aliyah, and you don't accept the aliyah, so you're not allowed to. So he was nervous, maybe he did the wrong thing. So B'Shas Maish, he was also wondering about it, and he thought that it's okay, and then later on he wrote this tshuva where he thinks that he did right. He thinks that halacha, that if he refuses to take an aliyah, that the person will be punished, that's only if he doesn't want to take an aliyah at all, period. He refuses to take an aliyah, and he sits down, he doesn't want. But if he says, I want a better aliyah, they call him out for shlishi, and he says, I want mafta, I don't want shlishi. Mafta is the kriya deraisa, and I want to lay along with the balkeirei. So then he writes in his tshuva, he thinks that it's okay. He thinks that it's okay, but he writes that his father didn't do that. His father had the same predicament, and his father took the shlishi, and he said, give my son the mafta.
Why did he give it to his son?
I don't know if he had a son. I know he had a daughter. His daughter was married to Rav Kook. Then Rav Kook, then she passed away, and he married her cousin. There were two twins. The name used to be, the family name used to be Rabinovich, and this Rabbi David Rabinovich, the father of Rav Kook, had a twin brother who was also a big goyim, two big goyim. So they used to be known as the twins. They used to learn Chavrusa from before Bar Mitzvah, after Bar Mitzvah. So then the family name was changed to Rabinovich Tolman, the twin Rabinovich. That's why his Rashi Tevis is Aderes. The father of Rav Kook is known as the Aderes, Eliyahu David Rabinovich Tolman. So when Rav Kook's first wife passed away, so he married her cousin, who was the daughter of the other twin, the other Rabinovich Tolman. Normally on a Purim evening, we daven Ma'ariv, and the night of Purim we daven Ma'ariv, and then we read the Megillah Esther. Usually after Ma'ariv we say Kaddish. Usually after Shmoneh Esrei we say Kaddish Tiskabel. And the Kaddish, the Chazan says, Tiskabel, Tzlos, and Lus, and the Chobeis Yisrael, HaKadosh Baruch Hu should answer our prayers, they should be accepted, they should answer the prayers. So we say Kaddish Tiskabel after every Shmoneh Esrei that we say, after Shacharis, after Musaf, after Minche, after Nilah, after Ma'ariv, after Slichas. Also it's like a Tefillah, after Slichas. So on every Purim night, we have a shaila. When should we say Kaddish Tiskabel? Should we say the Tiskabel write it after the Tfilas Ma'ariv, before Kriyas HaMegillah? Or should we postpone this Kaddish Tiskabel till after the Kriyas HaMegillah? Because after the Megillah we say V'yat HaKodesh. And V'yat HaKodesh also has Tchinas, also has Tfilas. So maybe we should say the Kaddish Tiskabel after. So some communities have the meaning that they say Kaddish Tiskabel twice. In Frankfurt, that meaning. Say Kaddish Tiskabel after Ma'ariv, and then repeat again Kaddish Tiskabel after the Kriyas HaMegillah. But that's not mentioned. The Shulchan Aruch, they don't even quote such a minhag. Just in the Rishonim, they have two minhagim, whether you say the Kaddish Tiskabel after the Shemona Esrei, or you say the Kaddish Tiskabel after the Kriyas HaMegillah. The minhag in most places, that's how it says in the Shulchan Aruch, the minhag in most places is that you save the Kaddish Tiskabel till after the Kriyas HaMegillah. That you only say, you say a Kaddish Sholem without, you say a Kaddish Sholem without the Tiskabel after the Meirev, and then you say the Kaddish Tiskabel after the Kriyas HaMegillah. The Shaila is, this year, when Purim is on Motzoi Shabbos, and a lot of shuls, there's going to be a long pause, let's say for a half an hour, till the people go home, till the women come with the children, till the babysitter's arranged, and so on. So it's going to be mamish a pause. Chazan is going to say the Kaddish after the Meirev, and everybody's going to disappear. Mamish is not going to be in shul at all. There'll be a couple of people sitting, saying tilim, whatever, looking in svarim, but they're not going to, it's not going to be continuous. They're going to finish Meirev and then say Kaddish, and then they're going to disperse. You're not continuing to say the Kriyas HaMegillah and go by it. And many shul is going to be a long pause. So the Shaila is maybe this year it should be different, and maybe this year we should all say the Kaddish Tiskabel after the Shemona Esrei before the Kriyas HaMegillah. So if you look in the Maharil, everything in the Ramah is based on the Maharil. Maharil lived, I think, in the 1400s in Germany. He established all the minhagim. So the Maharil, he established the Nigunim also. The Nigun for Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur that they sing all over the world except for in Frankfurt. The Nigun they sing all over the world is known as the Nigun Maharil. All the special, all the unique Nigunim for Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur. So the Maharil writes that this is what they did every year, every Purim they had like that. Why? They never waited to Dav Meirev to say Sakachov. They used to Dav Mincha before the Shkia. Meirev also before the Shkia a lot of times. So sometimes if there would be a lucky day, they Dav Meirev after the Shkia. He's Dav Mincha Meirev one after the other. But Kriyas HaMegillah, they wouldn't begin to learn Kriyas HaMegillah till after Nacht, till after Seis Tehom. So what they do in between Meirev and Kriyas HaMegillah? They sat around for 45 minutes and they waited. And he writes that that's the way it was every year. And they tainted, maybe you should say the Kaddish Tiskabel after the Shemona Esrei is going to be such a long pause. And he says, no, there's gefelach. He said the Kaddish Tiskabel after the Kriyas HaMegillah. Even though there's such a long pause, but you're not doing anything. Not a pause that you're reading the Megillah. Bishleim, you're reading the Megillah. So that's a chelik of tefillah as well. We read the Megillah and it has within it an implicit tefillah, an implicit tchina, that just like HaKadosh Baruch Hu answered our prayers at that time, so too we should answer our prayers today. So at least there's a ritzifus, there's a hemshach, there's a continuation that we daven in Shemona Esrei on Meirev, then we read the Megillah, we say the after Kodesh, then we say the Kaddish Tiskabel. But he says it's not done by ritzifus. There's a pause of over a half an hour. They finish Meirev every year. They used to do in the days of the Maharil every year on Purim what we may be doing now. This Motzei Shabbos, they would daven Meirev. Then there would be a break for half an hour when no one would be davening at all. And then they'd pick up with the Kriyas HaMegillah and say Atah Kodesh. And then they would actually say the Kaddish Tiskabel. And he says, that's the way you're supposed to do it. Maharil, quoted by the Ramah, says that's what you're supposed to do.
Maybe they went home eating.
No. It says you're not permitted to eat before the Kriyas HaMegillah. You're not permitted to eat before you shake a lulav, before you blow shofar, before you do a mitzvah.
So
you're not supposed to eat.
There
are different opinions, but say havdalah before or after. The common practice is that you say havdalah after Kriyas HaMegillah, because kol apukah yomim b'yachrinam. You should prolong Shabbos as late as possible. The Maisa, you're not prolonging Shabbos. Maisa, the people are driving to shul back and forth, they're turning on the lights, turning off the lights. They say, Atachon Atonu. But the official farewell of Shabbos is when you recite the Havdolah Lakos. So the official Havdolah should be postponed till as late as possible. That's what it says in the Shulchan Aruch on Chanukah.
If you're reading the Megillah, then you're saying it's the next day. Right?
Everybody should say Atachon Atonu. Atachon Atonu, and those people who are not davening Meirev, let's say the women who don't daven Meirev, they should say Baruch Hamav Mikadosh Hashem before they do any malacha. Or they say the Tefillah Gotvan Avraham, which is the equivalent of Megillah is probably not Muktzah, yeah, probably not Muktzah, because you can learn. To bring it, yeah. I mean, if you have an Erev, yeah, you shouldn't bring it. You're not allowed to bring it on Shabbos.
You can give out a carry, but you're not
allowed to have a Avada, yeah. It just says in Shulchan Aruch HaShaila, if Purim falls out on Shabbos, let's say Shushan Purim falls out on Shabbos, and you're forbidden to lay in the Megillah on Shabbos, then some pasim hold that it's Muktzah, because you're forbidden to lay in the Megillah. And others say, no, you're forbidden to lay in the Megillah to be Yetzir with it, but you're not allowed to open up the Megillah to learn a little bit of Megillah. How can you say it's Muktzah? But that's Machlokes. When Shushan Purim falls out on Shabbos, which it does every so often, So you say that the Megillah is Muktzah on that Shabbos. I don't know, almost Shabbos, let's say this Shabbos, Megillah is not Muktzah. But you wouldn't be allowed to bring it to Shul on Shabbos, even if you have an Erev, you wouldn't be allowed to because of Afan. The Mishnah Brura points out a din that the people are not Nizaran. He doesn't have it in Hilchas Purim, he has it in Hilchas Kriyas HaTorah. We know, we all know, when you get an Aliyah, you're not permitted to touch the parchment of the Sefer Torah with your bare hands. The Gemara says that one who does that, one who holds on to the Sefer Torah with his bare hands, loses the Skah. The Gemara says, Nigbar Orim, he will be buried without, what do you mean, Orim? Not going to put on Tachrichim? You're going to bury him naked? But the Gemara says, Orim Beli Mitzvahs. The Gemara says, Beli Mitzvahs? He loses all of his mitzvahs just because he held on to the cloth. The Gemara says, no, it means Beli Oisa Mitzvah. He got an Aliyah, let's say, and at the time that he got the Aliyah, he was holding on to the Sefer Torah, to the parchment. So he loses the reward for that Aliyah because he did an Aveira of holding on to the cloth. He was Mevazah the Sefer Torah at the time that he got the Aliyah. So the Shulchan Aruch has a dispute of this Isur, forbidding one to hold on to the Sefer Torah, only apply to the Sefer Torah, or does it apply to all Nevi'im Uksuvim? So we are Machmir, that it applies to the, let's say it applies to a Mezuzah. You're not permitted to touch the parchment, the cloth of a Mezuzah, unless it's necessary, unless let's say a Sefer has to correct something. So you don't insist he has to put on a glove. If he won't write well with gloves on, so we allow him to touch the parchment. But let's say someone has a mezuzah that's exposed. So you're not permitted to touch the parchment of the mezuzah. You should always cover up the mezuzah to make sure that you don't touch the cloth. People today have a new style. They have to come up with new fancy mezuzahs. So now they have a new fancy mezuzah that you have the whole cloth is open. It's not even rolled up. Not even rolled up, they just have the whole parsha exposed, you can see the whole thing. That's a shaila for your yaitzah the mitzvah. That's a shaila, because the Gemara, we learned the Gemara in office. The Gemara says you have to roll up the mezuzah. So some poskim, Rav Soloveitchik, was also in doubt, and other poskim have in writing also, they're in doubt whether you yaitzah the mitzvah if you don't roll it up. The Gemara says the way to fulfill the mitzvah mezuzah is to have the mezuzah rolled up from the end to the beginning, shmaz in the beginning, and then you put it on the door. If you don't roll it up, it's a suffix whether you yaitzah the mitzvah. But whether you are or not, a different question. The din is you're not permitted to touch the parchment with your bare fingers, because this Isur, out of Kovod Asvarim, applies not only to the Sefer Torah, it applies to the parchment of Nevi'im, Uksuvim, Megillas Esther, Megillas Echo, and so on, and applies to the Parsha of the Tefillin and to the Mezuzah. Unless it's Litzarach, unless it's necessary to fix the Mezuzah, or when you're putting in the parchment, let's say, into the Tefillin, so if it's necessary, it's necessary, then you're allowed to. But unnecessarily, you're not allowed to touch the cloth. Mm-hmm. So the Shabbos, what do you do with the Megillah? The Megillah has no way to tie it. Has no way to tie it. How are you going to hold on? So the Mishnah Brura quotes, the Shulchan Aruch quotes, there's a machlekes in Shabbos in the first Perek regarding this Easter of touching the Sefer Torah Orim, that you're not permitted to hold on to the cloth. What if the person washes in the Tilas Yadayim in advance? What if he washed his hands before? Why should it help? So the Gemara seems to say that it does help. Mm-hmm. The simple reading of the Gemara in the first parak in Shabbos seems to say, pointed out by the Mordechai, not Gemara, seems to indicate that this is only forbidden to touch a Sefer Torah with your bare hands, because your bare hands are dirty. Your hands are Yadayim Maskonius, and your hands are, you were touching all kinds of things, but if you wash your hands up, if you wash until you're dying with a cup in advance, without a bracha, and you have now clean hands, then you're permitted to touch the Sefer Torah. What's the aver? If your hands are clean, it's mutter. And Taisus denies that. Taisus says, I'm not Gemara. No, it's not. So Taisus reinterprets the whole Gemara. But the simple reading of the Gemara really indicates like that. So how do we pass in halacha l'maisa? So in the Ramah, in Shulchan Aruch and Hilchas Kriyas HaTorah, he writes the following compromise. He says, regarding a Sefer Torah, where it's definitely forbidden to hold on to the Sefer Torah with your bare hands, so there's only one tzad l'hokel. If you're washing to the Sedaim in advance, will you be allowed to hold on or not? So we are machmir, that you're not permitted to follow this opinion of the Mordechai that one washed his hands in advance is allowed to hold on. But regarding Megillas Esther, or regarding Vim Ksuvim, that anyway there are opinions in Rishonim who say that Bechlal, it's always mutter to hold on to the cloth with your bare hands, that this Sisu in the Gemara only applies to Eichas Sefer Torah, Sefer Torah is Dafka Sefer Torah, and other Vim Ksuvim or other Sfarim is mutter. So even though we are normally machmir not to hold on to any Sfarim with the bare hands, but if the person washed until it's a dime in advance, before he holds on to it, it's sort of a svek svek elohokim. Maybe, Bechlal there's no Isra on Megillah says. And even if there is an Isra, but he washed until it's a dime in advance, so it's mutter. That's what it says in the Ramah. So the Mishnah Brura points out, we should keep this in mind on Purim. He doesn't write it in Hilchas Purim. And he doesn't even refer it over there. But in Hilchas Kriyas HaTorah, he assumes that everybody reads the Mishnah Brura from the first volume to the sixth volume. So in Hilchas Kriyas HaTorah, he writes that you should keep this Ramo in mind on Purim night, that those people who want to hold on to their Megillus should wash until it's a dime in advance with a cup without a bracha. Otherwise, the taki not committed to hold on to the parchment of the Megillah.
You have to wash after before the Megillah, or why should you walk in as a key on the front door so you wash?
Right, you can wash before also, and to be careful not to touch your shoes and so on.
Why would you get a Leah? Many people think it's touched
with the right, if they touch with the talis, that's okay. But they should be careful not to touch with their bare hands. Yeah, the talis is okay. They have to tell. Usually, let's say you have to move the cloth a little bit. So we all know that the Gabon will always take their talus and not pull like this. They pull a parchment with the talus rather than pull it with their bare hands. That's a din. But you're not permitted to touch the parchment with your bare hands. You have to have a hefsek of the talus.
In the middle, you see that
they are touching. Right, right. Right, right. That's a din. Here the Gemara forbids it. Here the Gemara says that it's not allowed.
So Megillah with Eitz Chaim is better.
Yeah, if you have a Megillah with Eitz Chaim, so you avoid the whole town.
Yeah, but then if you have to read it four times, you never care if you start to make a letter called it. It's supposed to be folded like a letter.
In the Shulchan Aruch, they point out that the minhag that we have from the Rishonim, from the Gaonim, that before you start reading the Megillah, you won't fold the whole thing. This only applies to the Baal Korah, who's laning. All the private people who are laning along, they can hold it all rolled up together. They don't have to unfold. A lot of people don't remember that. It says explicitly that minhag to fold the whole Megillah out only applies to the Baal Korah.
So what actually do you get? It's a letter, right?
A letter.
You have to read like a letter? Is that wouldn't be ma'akev in the mitzvah.
It's no, it's not me.
No. So why did they pick that word?
The Gemara stresses that word Igeris, that because it's Nikris Sefer, the Nikris Igeris has some dinim similar to a Sefer Torah, because it's called a Sefer, and it has some dinim that are similar to an Igeris, that you're not makbid so much on all the hills of Sefer Torah. So to remember that Gemara, that the Gemara says the Megillah is Nikris Igeris, so the Gaon instituted a minig that you should unfold the whole Megillah, that it shouldn't even look like a Sefer Torah. Sefer Torah is usually rolled up and you only either read a section. Here you fold the whole thing up like a letter, that it shouldn't look at all like a Sefer. There are two opinions in Poskim regarding standing b'shas the brachas, when the Baal Korah recites the three brachas on Purim night. Regarding standing b'shas, kriyas ha-megillah, there's no room to be machmir. It says explicitly in the Mishnah that you can either stand or sit whatever you want. And there's no midas chasidus to stand when you read the Megillah. The only thing that's a midas chasidus is that the Baal Korah should stand. That's also machlokes. Does the Baal Korah have to stand when he reads the Megillah? So that, the Rama, even the Mishnah says that you're permitted to sit. When the Baal Korah is reciting the three brachas, when he says the bracha al Mikra Megillah, he says the bracha Shechyanu, Shasa Nisim, do we recommend that everybody in the shul should stand or not? So there are different opinions in Achronim. The Mishnah Brura quotes in the Shar HaTzion, the Mishnah Brura quotes from the Machzis HaShekel, that's a commentary on the Magen Avraham, on the bottom of the page of the Or HaChaim, where the Machzis HaShekel says that although the Tzibur may sit the Shas, Kriyas HaMegillah Gufo, but when the brachas are recited, everybody should stand. As it says in the Magen Avraham, in Simen Ches, in Hilchas Tzitzis, that whenever a person recites a Birchas HaMitzvah, he should always recite the Birchas HaMitzvah standing. So since the Baal Korah is reciting the three brachas on behalf of the Tzibur, so everybody should stand. It's considered as if Shemei Kain, as if everybody is reciting the brachas. And others disagree with this Machzis HaShekel, namely the Pnei Yeshua. Pnei Yeshua on Megillah disagrees, and that Mishnah, Koras HaMegillah, Oymid V'Yoshev, he says, no, Amed Var Mamurim, when does the Magen Avraham say in Simen Ches, in Hilchas Tzitzis, that the proper thing is that a person should stand whenever he recites a Birchas HaMitzvah? That's only when the mitzvah that he's about to do is a mitzvah that's supposed to be done by Amida. For example, Sfira Soimer. So we say we should count Sfira Soimer standing. Or Tkiah Shoif, he should fulfill the mitzvah standing. So whenever you have a mitzvah that should be done by midah, so not, or putting on talis should be done by midah. So not only should he, let's say a person wakes up in the morning and he's still in bed, and he's getting dressed, he's putting on his clothes, he puts on his Arba Kamplis. So when he puts on the Arba Kamplis, even though he didn't wash his hands yet, and he's unable to say a bracha, he's going to say the bracha when he puts on the talis, but he should put on the Arba Kamplis when he's standing up. Putting on the talis is one of the mitzvahs that should be done, standing up and not sitting down. So whenever you do a mitzvah, where the mitzvah should be done by midah, so the reciting of the bracha should also be done by midah. But haint, if the Mishnah says explicitly that the actual Kriyas HaMegillah can be done by yeshiva, and there isn't even a minute chassidus to stand when you read the Megillah, so mehechateisa, why should you insist that you should stand when you say the bracha? How can the reciting of the bracha be more chomor than the actual mitzvah itself? If the Mishnah says you can sit when you read the Megillah, so you can sit when you say the bracha as well. Baruch, right, for Baruch. The Magen Avraham claims that when you say Baruch Hashem Amvarach, that's a Davash B'Kedusha. So that you have to stand for. Right. That's not really the Brichas HaTorah. That's a little different. That's a little different. So there are different minhagim in different communities. In some communities, I remember as a child, I don't remember any shul where I came from, where they used to stand when the Chazan said the Brachas by Kriyas HaMegillah. And now I've never come across a shul, because now that I moved to New York, so in all the shuls they do stand. So I'm always I always feel awkward. What is everybody standing for? But there are different minhagim, different opinions in the pasuk. Rabbi Pesach Frank has a tshuva in Har Tzvi. He thinks the Pnei Yeshua is right. He votes for the Pnei Yeshua. He thinks that whenever the mitzvah doesn't need amidah, so it doesn't make sense that the bracha should be more chomer than the mitzvah. Why should the bracha require amidah? Yeah, that's a different thing. You stand out of cover for the one who's doing a mitzvah. No, but it's not going anywhere. When he comes in to do a mitzvah, then you stand up. He's reading the Megillah the whole time. We don't stand in his honor. We sit the whole time. So why should we have to stand when he's saying the brachas? No, we stand because of the Machzor Shekel's opinion that all brachas should be said by midah. And the Pnei Yeshua disagrees. Regarding the Kriyas HaMegillah, the Gemara, the Yerushalmi says that if the Balkori makes a slight error, we are not makpid. We don't have to lean over, unless it's an error that's Mishana Dinya, unless he really makes a major mistake. So the same the Gemara says is regarding, the Babli says regarding the Ksivas HaMegillah. In a Sefer Torah, we paskin that even if the Sefer Torah is just missing one letter, Chosar Eisachah, so the whole Sefer Torah is postal. In a Megillah, the Gemara says not so. As long as it's nichtav rupa, as long as the majority of the Megillah is written, even though a miut of the Megillah is rubbed out, a couple of words here and there are misspelled or whatever, so b'diyeved the kriya is good. But l'chatchila, of course, you should have every word and every letter should be written. You should try to get a Megillah that's kosher l'chatchila, not just kosher b'diyeved.
51% of the Megillah could be mistaken.
Right, mm-hmm. Right. B'diyeved it would be good. But l'chatchila,
if it's missing a word, you can borrow it. You have to know.
Right, you should say it the correct way. Right, right. That's what the Mishnah Brura says, that if you're davening, if you're listening to the Kriyas HaMegillah and Shul, and the kids are making a lot of, or the adults, whoever is making a lot of noise when they clap haman, and you missed a word or two, so you should say along. Let's say you missed all the hamans, 50 hamans you missed. So you can't just wait till after the Kriyas HaMegillah and say 50 times haman, 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 just to make up all the 50 hamans. Because the din is you have to lay in kisidron, you have to lay in an order. So if the Balkori got up until the middle of Pasuk Lamed and you missed a few words there, so you should say quickly from the printed Chumash that you have, the Pasuk Megillah, say those few words, and then pick up later with the Balkori when he continues. Aye, but you're not laying from the Kosher Megillah. So the answer is, but the majority of the robe of the Megillah was laying from a Kosher Megillah. Just the miut of the Megillah. Less than 50% you're laying from the Pasuk Megillah, so that's okay. So that's what all the Pasuk recommend. Everyone should follow along with the Balkori. And whenever he misses a word or two, he should say that word or two quickly, right away, at the time that the noise is being made, he should say those words now, in order that he should have a continuous Kriyas HaMegillah, Rubo Mitoch HaKsav, and Miuto from the Pasul HaMegillah.
But the same thing would apply that he doesn't do it.
Yeah, he missed a word, it should be okay.
He missed the words.
Right. No, if he misses the words, it's no good. No, he has to hear all of the words of the Megillah.
The Megillah itself is the veil of
right, the Balkori has to fill him in Balpedo. If the Megillah itself, no, then it's not good. Then you're not Yotze. You have to hear every word of the Megillah. The Balkori has to say the words Balpedo. As long as he reads the majority of the words from the cloth and then the rest of the words that are missing, he says, Valpeh, that's good enough. But lechatchila, we recommend that you should get a Megillah that has every word and every letter written in it. So the grandson of the Chassam Sofer, the Shevet Sofer, writes in his Tshuvas that he remembers that his grandfather, the Chassam Sofer, had a Chumrah. This is where the Chumrah comes from. That there are two psukim, this is what he says, there are two psukim in the Megillah where there's a suffix what the correct reading should be. Well, they should say the ish lo yamad bifneihem or the ish lo yamad lifneihem with a lamed or a base. I mean, it has the same meaning. Or lahashmin laharag liyabit or lahashmin vilaharag liyabit. Is it supposed to have a vav or is it not supposed to have a vav? Very strange episode. Tilak Sam Sofer, nobody ever heard of these fakers. In the Rishonim, they talk about other fakers. There was a Rua talks about a different suffix that it says vayishaneho es naraseho. And he's mistupik, he quotes Bali Ates Vamsug, whether he should say Vaishanaha Vyas Narasa, with a Vog or without a Vog. It was these fakes that the Chassam Sofer had, he's not aware of this topic, Vyas Narasa, and the Rishonim are not aware of his fakes. But anyway, that's the common practice today, is following the Chassam Sofer. So the Chassam Sofer said, since there's a topic whether you should read Bifneham or Lifneham, or Lahashmin Vilaharag or Lahashmin Lahar Galiabin, so what he did was the following. He got a Megillah and he put in the missing letter in between the lines. The din is, let's say you have a Sefer Torah. Sefer Torah also the same din. And you're missing a word. You're missing, let's say, missing a word in English. If you're missing a letter in a word, so you can put the letter in between the lines. It'll be kosher. If the Sefer Torah is missing one letter, it's no good. But if the letter is there, but it's not in order, it's in between the lines. That's called Taliyah. L'tlos ben ashitin, in between the lines. So it's kosher. You can't do that in tefillin and mezuzahs, because tefillin and mezuzahs must be written kisidra, has to be written in order. So if you stick in a letter later, it's no good. But in the Sefer Torah and the Megillah Esther, it is good. So the Chassam Sofer had this practice. He got one good Megillah that had every single letter written. But on the word bifneihem, the shalom maybe supposed to be written lifnei. So he wrote in a lamed on top of the base. And then on the other pasuk, lahashmid vilaharag, there's a suffix about the vav, so it was written without a vav. He told the Sofer to put a vav on top of the word. And then when the Balkori laned it, so he laned it twice. He laned it once with the base and once with the lamed. And once with the vav, once without the vav. And then, that's a different question. No, that's a different question. Whether he laned over the whole pasuk twice, he laned over the phrase twice, that we discussed. But the Baal HaTanya says you just say over the phrase. Right.
But here you have an extra letter. If you put in the vav on the side, you have an extra letter. No one else would
have that. No. It's either one or the other. It's either going to be Chosere Sachas, it's either going to be Chosere Sachas, or Yitere Sachas. B'dieved, if you have a Megillah that's Chosere up until 40-50%, right, is good. But L'chatchila, you want to have Bishlei Musa. What's the din of Yitere Sachas? What's the din if you have a Megillah with extra letters in a Sefer Torah? The Rambam writes, yes, it can otul domi. The Rambam writes, he quotes a Losh, and that's in Hilchas Treifas, a din like that. Right, that is a din of yeser kinatl. If you have an extra organ, it's considered as if it were missing an organ. So the Rambam writes, just like in Hilchas Treves, we have a klal yeser kinatl dom. If you have an extra letter, it's just as possible as if you would be missing a letter. But in the Megillah Esther, the din is not so. That's as mefurish in Shulchan Aruch. That if you have the brachas written into the Megillah, it doesn't possible the yevet. That extra words in the Megillah don't possible. If you're missing letters, also won't possible the yevet. But L'chatchila should have all of the letters there. But if you have more, if you have an extra, if you have a few extra things written, you have all the brachas and you have all the piyutim written also in the Megillah, so it's better to have extra than to be missing. So that's why the Chassam Sofer used to be marked. Right. Same shaila, whether he laid over the whole pasuk or he laid over the phrase or just the word. Right.
Now what about these Megillahs that you see that have pictures?
It's not right. Says in Shulchan Aruch, they discuss it. It's not proper to have illuminated the what do you call it?
But when the letters are made fancy, that's not pictures.
Right.
That's all right. If we make the letters fancy with the calligraphy, with the gold lights,
it's not right. It's supposed to be a shachar. The idea about Ksivus HaMegillah is supposed to be black. The letter is written in a different color, so it's possible. See, that letter is discounted. This is the practice that the Chassam Sofer had, but only in his Beis Medrash he did like that. The grandson writes, the Shevet Sofer writes, he didn't recommend that all the shuls in town for the Balabatim, you should mix up all the Balabatim. Usually in the shul, the Balabatim don't know what in the world is going on. Where is the Balkari? They're waiting for the next pasuk, and all of a sudden they get lost. The Balkari begins reading the same pasuk over again. If it would just read over the phrase, so the people would follow. The Balkari is Anim Frume, there's Anim Achnirim, so they want to read over the whole pasuk, like we had the three sheepers. The three sheepers you have to say over the whole pasuk. And the Lavush says you just say over from that word on. And the Balatanya says say over the phrase. If they just say over the word or the phrase, it wouldn't be so bit. They get to the end of the pasuk, and then instead of going back, they go back to the beginning of the pasuk. So already 95% of the people are lost. So the Samsofer was careful about this. He didn't tell all the Balikri and all the Shuls to do this. And his base medrash, when he had a small group of Balabatim, he explained in advance what they're going to do. And then he had a special Megillah that had the extra letters written in. And then his Bal Torah used to do like this, but he didn't recommend it for everybody else. It gets confusing. It's interesting, the last pasuk and the first perek in Megillah Esther is always read or misread in a certain way. We always say, Lios Kolish Sareh Beveis El Medaber Kilshon Amo. So everybody in every edition of the Tanakh, all editions, says Sorer with a sin. Sorer Meloshin Sar. Who's the boss? So he said, Achashverosh Yigit Paskin, the husband is the boss. The husband has to wear the pants, not the wife. Lios Kolish Sareh Beveis El. He should be the one who should be the Balabos and the Sar. If you look in the Masoira, on the side of the Mikros Gedolos, so they only have Masoira in the tiny letters on the side, so they always tell you how many times such a construction is found in Tanakh, how many times such a phrase is found, or similar things, how many times such a verb is found. That on the bottom they tell you where the other psukim are, and sometimes they'll write leso, that this construction of this word doesn't appear anywhere in Tanakh. So on this word, so rare, shin resh resh, it says leso b'ksuvim b'shin. It never appears in Tanakh with a shin. It always appears with a sin, except for this one place that it appears with a shin. So according to the Masorah is from before the days of Rashi. Masorah is from the period of the Gaonim. The Masorah claims that the correct pronunciation is Shorer. So the Achronim quote, a recent Poskim quote, that there was a Belzer Rebbe who was called Rav Sar Sholem. So Sar Sholem, the Belzer Rebbe, used to lame Shorer, and he told everybody that they're all laning wrong. Everybody has to lame Shorer, not Sorer. But Litvaks, they always say every sin that consists, every sin is a shin. What does the word mean? It has a slightly different meaning. It means like it's found in Tillim a few times. But the quote in Chumash, it says Shrivus Libi, right. So what does it mean? So they quote the following. No, you have a lot of times. It says, they quote the following pasuk. It says, "Erenu v'loyato ashirenu v'loy koroy." How does it say? In the Vuas Pilam Arosha. So ashirenu, they say, means miloshen hashgocha, to supervise. Erenu, to see, or to shiris libi, means my views, what my heart sees. Right. So here also it has a slightly different pshat. It means lamayis is the same thing. Lius kolish sorry rishar means the same thing, but a slightly different pshat. If it's Soreh, it means a sar. If it's Soreh, it means that he should be the mefakeach. He should be the one to oversee. I think the word is Sorona. I think they assume the word is Sorona with the shin. Huh? Then it means the same thing as Sorona. Sorona, Sorona, the same thing then. But the question is, what's the correct pronunciation? So the poskim say,
mm-hmm.
So then it means the same thing, whether it's sin or a shin, the same thing. So some poskim say that even if you don't want to be mevatel and minik oilam, everybody says so rare, but at least you should say it twice. Say it once right and once wrong. Say one so rare and one so rare. The shaila is we don't do that. Everybody says so rare. That's the question. I don't know. You have to ask your local Orthodox rabbi. That's the shaila. On Purim in the daytime, the Gemara says, in addition to the mitzvah of Kriyas HaMegillah that applies twice by Yom HaBalayla, on Purim in the daytime you have a few additional mitzvahs. You have the mitzvah of Sudas Purim, you have the mitzvah of Shalach Manes, Matanas Lav Yoinim. So the Mishnah Brura quotes in the name of the Binyan Tzion, Yankov Vatlanger, as a chumrah, he was the Rebbe Rav Shimshon Folish, Yes Mechit Rav Shimshon Folish. He has a suffix that maybe one does not fulfill Shalach Manas if he gives it in person. Maybe you dafka have to give Shalach Manas Ayidei Shliach, because the pasuk says, Umishloach Manas Ishlamayev. Mishloach Manas means dafka Ayidei Shliach. Then a Sam Sefer quotes in the name of Rabbi Kiva Eger, his father in law. Sam Sefer had three wives. The second wife was the daughter of Rabbi Kiva. I think Rabbi Kiva was just 2 years older than myself. That was the second wife, his daughter, Rabbi Kiva. So he quotes that he heard from Rabbi Kiveger, his father-in-law, Asvarah, that if you send Shalach Manas, Ayidei Kotan, you deliver the shofnos, the one who delivers it is not bar mitzvah, you're not yet to the mitzvah, because you have to have davka shliach. And we learned in Kiddushin last year that a katan, a child before bar mitzvah, cannot serve as a shliach. No, a chumra from Rabbi Kivegin. The minhag olam is that everybody sends shofnos like their katan. So the question is why? So many parts can say the whole thing is wrong, that you don't have to have a shliach. Many parts can say, Shlomo Kluge, many others say it's not correct, you don't have to have a shliach. In fact, they told us that in Miri Yeshiva they had tainus in Europe why the Mishnah Berurah quoted this Binyan Tzion. Why does he quote Azadul the Chumra that you're not Yeretz Shalach Manis unless you send Aydei Shliach? There's so many other Achranim who disagree. The answer why he quoted the Binyan Tzion is that the true answer is that there's a little sefer on Arachim that's called Pischei Tshuva. Tiny little sefer by a Dain in Vilna where he has a Likut on Arachim. We don't have a Pischei Tshuva on Yeredeya and Ebenezer and Cheshim Mishpod. Next to the Behetev on the Shulchan Aruch, there's a Pischei Tshuva. The Pischei Tshuva has a Likut, a collection of all of the Poskim, the Rebbe Yehuda, with the Chassam Sofer, with everybody, what everybody has to say. On Arachayim, no Pischei Tshuva was ever written. We have the Shari Tshuva, which preceded the Chassam Sofer. So he's missing up to 150 years of Achrayim, he doesn't have there. So one of the Dayanim in Vilna took it upon himself to write a Pischei Tshuva. So he put out a little Sefer that's a Likut of the Achronim who followed the Shari Tshuva, who lived after the Shari Tshuva. So the Mishnah Berurah always relies on this Pischei Tshuva. Whenever there's something on the daf in the Shulchan Aruch, it's in the Magen Avraham, or the Taz, or the Prima Gorim, or the Matei Moshe, somebody's on the page, he's going to quote whoever's on the page. Whenever someone is not on the page, he will only quote it, the Mishnah Berurah will only quote it if it's found in the Pischei Tshuva. Whenever the Mishnah Berurah quotes Aksav Sefer, or Aksam Sefer, or something like that, it's not that he looked up on his own. He will only quote what's found in the Pischei Tshuva. So on Hilchas Shalach Manas, the Pischei Tshuva only quotes the Binyan Tzion, word for word. The Mishnah Berurah just quotes what it says in the Pischei Tshuva. Yesh lehistapik, if you yotze, if you give it, shloi adei shloi, give it in person. So it's not really a tain against the Chafetz Chaim, it's a tain against the Pischei Tshuva. Why did he only quote the Binyan Tzion? Why didn't he quote everybody else? Why didn't he quote the majority of the Poskim, probably the majority who disagree? So many disagree. What do you mean you don't need a shliach? You need a shliach. And others taina that Bar Avraham the Kovner Rav has a famous tshuva where he tainas, and others have the same taina as well, but it's famous in the Bar Avraham. He tainas when he said that a katan cannot serve as a shliach. That's if the din really is that I'm supposed to do it myself. I'm supposed to give the kiddushin myself. I'm supposed to give the get myself. But if I appoint a shliach, then the halacha says shluch shaladam is also kimoso. My shliach can also serve on my behalf. And it's considered as if I did it also. If I send it out, it's also considered. But if the shliach is a katan, he's not bar mitzvah, so then you don't say shluch shalom in kimo. Sorry, it's not considered as if I did it myself. But here, if you tell me there's a din that you're not yotzei if you give the shalach manas yourself. You have to dafke give it, either shliach. So what do you mean? So what's the din? Shluch shalom in kimo. So it's considered as if I gave it myself. No, then it's no good. So the answer is, it's not a din of shlichas of kol ha-tarakulo, that what the other person does for me is considered as if I myself had done it. What's the halacha? It has to be, you have to deliver the shalach manas, idea achirim, has to be delivered by others. So even if it's delivered by a goy, it's also good. Delivered by a katan is also good. It's not a din of shlucha shladim kim moisoi, that you say that a katan is excluded. That's what the poskim taina against this chumra that Chassam Sofer quoted. The Talmidim of the Chassam Sofer quote is not found in his form. The Talmidim of the Chassam Sofer said he heard from the Chassam Sofer on Purim in the name of his father-in-law, Rebbe Kiveger, that you cannot send Shalach Manas with a cut. So Chumra, some people are machmer for that. But the most of the Achronim make fun of it. They say that it doesn't make any sense. Right, that's the Pashtus, the Gemara seems to say like that. When you invite someone to your home to participate in your Suras Purim, that's the Iker Shalach Manas. The Iker Shalach Manas really is. People think you have to give all kinds of nash. No, the Rambam says you have to give. Some people think Shalach Manas has to be two minim, it has to be two different brachas. One should be mezainis, one should be shahakal, one should be hoi. The Rambam says give two pieces of flesh. That's Shalach Manas. The same bracha, two pieces of flesh, same bracha. And the Shalach Manas is not supposed to be nash. The Rambam says supposed to be real food, chicken, flesh, real food, bread. Shaila if you eat the Shalach Manas if you give wine or if you give a bottle of soda. So the Gemara, as we have it, says that one of the Amoraim sent Shalach Manas, he gave a steak, and he gave a bottle of wine, and he was Yotze Shalach Manas. That's the Gemara that we have in the Gemara in the Talmud Bavli. The Rabbeinu Hananel on the side of the Gemara quotes the same story from the Yerushalmi, which has a slightly different version, where the Yerushalmi says that the first time he sent them a steak, and a barrel of wine. So he sends her back a message, thank you very much, but you weren't Yotze Shalach Mamash yet. The next time, he sent them a chicken and a barrel of wine, and he was Yotze. So why wasn't he Yotze the first time? So the different Perushim and the Yerushalmis. I said it over wrong. The first time he sent them a piece of chicken with a barrel of wine. Next time he sent them a steak with a barrel of wine. So some Mefarshim say the reason why he wasn't, he said, thank you very much, but you weren't Yotze yet. So they said, you were Yotze Matanis Lev Yainim, but you weren't Yotze Shalach Mamash yet. That's the Lashon HaYerushalmi. So why wasn't he Yotze Shalach Manas? He gave two minims. So some say because you're only Yotze Shalach Manas if it's a salad. It has to be a food. If it's a bottle of wine, so it's not. So the first time he sent him chicken with wine, so the wine doesn't count. That's what the Rashash says. That a few Achrenim say like that. Then the second time he sent him a steak. So the steak now with the chicken from before with the 2 minutes. Right, right. And then Achrenim have a suffix. Then Achrenim have a suffix. What if he already ate up the chicken by the time I send him the steak? Is it Mitzurah Yachad or not? Because the Gemara has a din in Shabbos and the Peum and Aleph that when you carry on Shabbos, it's one of the 39 malachas Hoitzoah is not allowed. So the Gemara says, but you only chayv misa if you carry a kashir. You have to carry a lot. How much do you have to carry? So the Gemara says, if it's food that you're carrying, you have to carry a kigre geris, the size of a dried out date. So the Gemara says, what happens if I carry a chatzigre geris now and I leave it in the street? Then I take a chatzigre geris later. Am I chayv or not? So the Gemara says, if the first chatzigre geris is still there, it hasn't been destroyed, it hasn't been eaten up, then I carry out the second chatzigre geris, it's mitzuruf yachad. But if the first chatzigre geris is nechal or nevad or nisraf, then the second chatzigre geris is ein mitzuruf. So that's a shaila in the Prima Gadim. Is this only a din in Hilchos Haitzah, or is this din apply to all the malachas? So the Achrenim have a stofik here. If you send first the chicken, and he ate it up already, and then you send a steak, maybe then I'm mitzuruf yachad. That's a shaila. Should have something to drink at the time that he did. So some of Farshim say that the reason why he wasn't Yotze the first time with the chicken was because he only sent one min, because the drink of the wine and the beer will not be mitzuruf. That's a chumer. Many poskim say not so. The Taz and the Truma Sadesh, they all say that shtiya is bechlal achila. That if you give wine with the bread, so it's also shnei minim. But others say not so. They claim the Yerushalmi holds not. And other poskim say the Chayyorim has a famous comment that the Mishnah Berurah quotes. He says differently. That the reason why he wasn't Yotze with chicken first was because the one who was sending was a multi-millionaire. So he says, the Chayyorim has this chumrah. If a millionaire sends me a pack of peanuts, then he says, he's Yotze Matanas Lev Yoinim. That's what he said. Thank you very much for the chicken, Yotze Matanas Lev Yoinim. But Lefi Chvoitcho, you're not Yotze Mishlach Manas. Why? Because Mishlach Manas means you should be Mishat with me and you're Suras Purim. You don't eat chicken, you eat steak. So you have to have me participate. The real mitzvah Shalachman is to invite me to eat by your table. And the second best is to send it to my home. But you have to send me to my home something that you're going to eat. So you're going to eat fancy food, so you have to give me fancy food. That's what the Mishnah Berurah quotes from the Chayyodam, that if a person who's at Adam Chashuv sends a pesagornish to someone else, so he's not yet a Shalachman. Shalachman is you have to give a davar Chashuv. The Hamantashen, okay. The Hamantashen is not there. The raisins is the problem. Raisins is not really a Dovah Choshev.
No, an orange
would be.
You know, usually it comes with, you know,
No. That's not really right. The Psalm Sefer says like that. The Psalm Sefer says, if you give, and the Drosh is Psalm Sefer, not in the Chulis. And the Drosh is Psalm Sefer Al-Atera, he writes that if you give food on Purim to somebody who doesn't have any food to eat, that's the definition of Matanas Lev Yoinim. And you're not Yotze Shalach Manas. That's Matanas Lev Yoinim. Shalach Manas means if the fellow has money enough or he has food for the Suras Purim, and then you give him dessert. So based on that, that's why people, Amana means something in addition. So that's why people have the practice. You always give nash, you give kidneys, you give fruits, you give things that are desserts based on the sun set. But the Rambam doesn't, you give milk, it's yeah. But, oh, right. Okay. The Rambam writes the Suda should be flesh. But the Rambam writes the Shalach Manas. The Rambam quotes the Gemara. You give flesh, you give chicken, you give bread, you give an equal part of the meal. Not that you give dessert, like the Sam Sefer says. You give a chela kovum, part of the meal.
You have to eat Shalach Manas.
And
How many people
are there? The Gemara says you have to, each person of the family, the husband, the wife, and each one of the children should give shalchmanos to one person. Shalchmanos ish l'reyeh. You have to give two food to one person. Let's say my family, yeah.
But the children aren't five of them.
Those who are higilachinach achai, those who are ktanim shalah higilachinach anachai. Each person should give to one
person.
No? Gemara says if you have nothing better, so that says the last resort you pass around the table. But that's not right. Gemara has passing around the table doesn't mean that one child gives a meal to the other. It means you give a meal to an outsider, someone who usually does not eat with you. So you invite him over to your home, you give him your meal, that he should be mishtatef in your sudas
port. So you can get three things. If you invite another over, you get matana shlomyon, child's manas, and sudas port.
That's a big deal in Poskim. The Turiyev and Rabbi Kudeng discuss, can you fulfill mishlav manas and matana shlomyon to the same person? Right, this Chassam Sofer that I just mentioned said that not. And now there's a mistopic about that. It's late. I'll just close with two comments from Parsha Sav that both are related to Inyone Purim. Both have a shaykhus with Purim. We just mentioned that shalachmanis one has to fulfill by giving food, because the idea of shalachmanis is to have the other person participate in my sudas Purim. And the other person should be an outsider, not I give shalachmanis to my children, to my wife. We always eat together. It means you should be mishateif. You should have included in your sudas some person who normally does not eat by you. So that's why most of the poskim say that you're not giving to shalachmanis if you give money. The Be'er Heitav quotes the halachas ketanos, who says if you give enough money to buy food, so you're also yotzei the mitzvah. So all of the poskim say that he's wrong. And it says Beferish and the Ramban and all the Maharil, all the poskim say that you're not yotzei unless you give mamish mana. Mana means food. It's a mishnah beitzer. Ain shalachmanis. The Shammai say you're not permitted to give matonos on yontif. Anything other than food. We still say, no, you can give sweaters, you can give other things also. The Shammai say you're only permitted to give matanos on yontif that are food. So the question is, what's haste food? Food means that it's cooked food already, that's roi lachila take it from yad. What if I send a person a raw steak that he can broil today? But I didn't broil it, I didn't give him a broiled steak. And my yotze is shalachmanis. So the Magen Avraham quotes from the Shaloh and other poskim that you're not yotze if you give raw food. Because the Mishnah Beitzah seems to indicate that monos has the word monos in the Hebrew language, has a connotation of food that's ready to eat. So the later poskim disagree, the Netziv and many others disagree, based on the pasuk in this week's Seder, that it says in Parshas Tzav, in Perek Zayin, Pasuk Lamed Gimel, Hamakriv es dam ha-shlomim es ha-chel b'nei ha-haron, lo siya shok ha-yomin limono. And then it says also, another psukim here in Parashas Tzav, that it says that they gave to Moshe Rabbeinu as a moneh, they gave him the raw meat. It wasn't cooked yet. So the pasuk in several places in this parasha, you'll look as we'll hear Kriyas HaTorah on Shabbos, towards the end of the parasha, all in Perek Zayin, I think it has three times, that the word moneh appears in connection with raw food. So the pasukim say that if you're going to give him a raw steak 5 minutes before Shkiyah and Purim, then it's not roi lechol bosa yom, but if you give him a raw steak in the morning and he has enough time to broil the steak today and an opportunity to eat it today for Sudas Purim, then it is considered shalachmanis. That's perfectly all right. Right. No, that's okay. That's okay. But if you give something raw which you cannot prepare today, it'll take so long to cook that he won't be able to eat it today. Then it's takanat kol shalachmanis. You have to give something that he can eat today. Right. Different from the Lashon HaTorah, that's true. So it's not necessarily a good right. But still, the later poskim assume, Rav Avad Yosef quotes many achronim who assume that that is the din, like the Netziv says. And like several other poskim said, that if you give raw food, which he has enough time today to cook and prepare, so you would fulfill the mitzvah of Mishlach Manos. Then there's another fascinating issue. In Parshas Tzav, this you have to look inside. In between Pasuk Chaf Aleph and Pasuk Chaf Beis, we have no separate parsha. We have no Pesuch HaStum. If you look in the Sefer Torah, it just goes straight. Really, the theme is completely different. If we would have been writing, we would have been dictating, we would have been writing, we would have made a Pesuch HaStum, we would have made something over here. It's really a different paragraph. It starts off a whole new topic in Perek Zayin, Pasuk Chaf Beis, by Daber Hashem and Moshe Leimor, Daber Bnei Yisrael Leimor, Kol Chelev Shav V'Chesev V'Eiz Lo Yisrael Chelev, talks about the Dinam of Chelev. And before that was not at all talking about chelav. Completely different topic, unrelated to the psukim that preceded. So the Rambam in Hilchos Sefer Torah gives you a list of all of the psuchas and stumas in the Chumash, and he gives you a number, how many are there in Bereishis, how many are there in Shmos, how many are there in Vayikra, and he gives you the list and he gives you the number, and according to the list and the number, this has, it follows the way we have, there's not supposed to be any psucha or a stuma here, it doesn't appear. The Hagos Maimoni in the footnotes on the bottom of the Rambam, which was written by one of the Balei HaTosis, by a Talmud of the Maharam Rutenberg, writes that there must be a misprint in the Rambam that we have. He writes in all of our editions, all the Sefer Torah that we have a psucha here. Not only a stum, we have a psucha, a big hapsoka in between Pasuk Chaf Aleph and Pasuk Chaf Beis. And even though the Rambam doesn't mention it, the Rambam gives you an exact number of how many psuchas and stumas, he says there's an error. The Rambam forgot to say, like, the Kesef Mishnah on the side of the Rambam says that maybe that's what the Hagos Maimon had in his Sefer Torah, but he writes, we don't have that in our Sefer Torah. We talk it don't. We don't have anything here before Pasuk Chaf Beis and Perek Zayin. So the Kesef Mishnah says that the Hagos Maimon is wrong and the Rambam is right. We don't have a tradition over here that there should be a Parsha Bifnei Atzman that's not supposed to be. The Shachan Yeredeya in the Hilchos Sefer Torah has a tshuva that he sent, a tshuva l'aloha. Usually the Shach just has comments. Every Sifkotni has comments on the Shulchan Aruch. Here he has a tshuva that he wrote to one of his contemporaries, that someone wanted to pasul a Sefer Torah that was written like ours, that Pasuk Chaf Beis continues from Chaf Aleph with no hafsok at all. So the Shach prints the tshuva that he wrote to this contemporary of his. How can you pasul a Sefer Torah? The Sefer did the right thing, as the Kesef Mishnah explains, that that's what the Hagos Maimon wrote is wrong. It's not supposed to be a psuch of Hakir. The Gemara says in Menachos, if you put a psucha where it doesn't belong, you possibly say Sefer Torah. So that's our practice. Even though if we would have written the Sefer Torah on our own, we would have made a psucha here. But Lamai said, we don't have any tradition that there is any psucha, so we leave it without any psucha. We have such a similar problem in connection with the Kriyas HaMegillah. The Yerushalmi says something that's very unclear about writing the Asaras B'nei Haman like a shira, like Oz Yoshev, like columns, except whereas all the other shiras you have Ariach, Agabi, Levena, and Levena, Agabi, Ariach, you have it written, you have writing, empty space writing, then you have writing in the middle, and you have it again, writing, writing, and empty space in the middle, then you have empty space writing, you have it symmetrical. Whereas normally you have what's called Ariach, Agabi, Levena, and Levena, Agabi, Ariach, you have the symmetrical triangles. Over here, that's in order when you build a house, so you have the bricks. You don't have the bricks straight, you alternate in order that the building should hold better, that it shouldn't fall down. But the Aseres Ben Haman had a makola, so we want to demonstrate that their building fell down. So that's what the Yerushalmi says. You have the Aseres Ben Haman written in two columns, straight, one on top of the other, that the whole thing demonstrated of falling down. So the question is, how do you have it written? So the minig olam is that you have it written with you have a whole column that only has 11 lines. The rest of the Megillah can have 15 lines, can have 25, 35, 45 lines. 50 lines, when you come to that, so as the Nehaman, you have a page that only has 11 lines. And how does it start off with 11 lines? Chameis Meos Ish, because it says we start with the word Ish. So you have Ish, Eis, Parshandasa, Veis, Aspasa, Veis, Adalia. So you have one column that says Ish, and all that says the Nehaman, that's 10, and the first one is Ish. And then you have Eis and Eis, Veis. Eis, Veis, 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 Veis. And then Aseret, and then it ends off Aseret. Those are the 11 lines. And then you continue with the next column that's going to have 45 lines. So the Vilna Gaon said, how can it be? He says, that's not the Pshat in the Yerushalmi. What are they making over here? Big letters? They make big letters. This is not found in the Masor. They're just supposed to have big letters for the Aseret. It says, the Vav of Vaizoso should be a big Vav. That's what the Gemara says in Bavli. Also, the Sof make a mistake. Big Vav means it starts on the same line with the others and it goes taller. Not that it starts at the same height and it goes lower. The floor is the same, but the roof is taller. That's what the Achrayim say, that a lot of stuff and write it wrong. So the Vav of Arizos is supposed to be a larger letter than the others, but it doesn't say all that says when I'm supposed to be large. Then the Goyim Tainas, you're putting in psuchas where they don't belong. In order to fill up 11 lines for a column that has 50 lines, so you're making big letters and then you're leaving out spaces in between. When you leave out a space in between one line and the other, that's called either a psuch or a stuma, machlekes. But that constitutes a parasha b'fnei atzma. So Hitana said, you've just passed your Megillah. You put a psuch where it didn't belong. So the Goyim says that that's not pshat in the Yerushalmi, and the Chassam Sofer quotes to be a Rav Ruach. Chassam Sofer thinks that all the Goyim is wrong. And the pshat in the Yerushalmi, that you're not supposed to have a whole Megillah with 30 lines and all of a sudden only 11 lines. is just make 11 lines of your 45 line column, should have the Aseres Benehamim in a regular sized letters, and just have Shem, the same way we have the 11 lines, but it should only take up 11 lines, then go by. Others disagree, they say that that it doesn't say 11 lines, it's only supposed to be 10 lines. The Gaya Masechta, who is the Rav Navarra, Abdavra Navarra, says that the whole thing is a mistake. When the Yerushalmi says that the beginning of these Aseres Benehamim should start Ish, it does mean the word Chamesh Meos Ish Ace. How does it start? Parshandasa. Not Ish Ace Parshandasa Ve'ez Adai Ve'ez Asposa. Ish means the guy's name. The guy's name is Ish. So the bottom of the column should be Chamesh Meos Ish Ace. Then you start on top. Parshandasa. That's Ish. The guy's name is Ish. The fellow's name is Ish. It doesn't mean the word Ish in the Megillah. It means the fellow, the first one that says Nam. He says this Shira, this column, is supposed to have 10 lines, not 11 lines. He says it doesn't make sense to have Ish Ace on top. So it's not supposed to be. That's his time. It's a problem, how you do.
No.
Ish means the first name of the Aseres Benehamim should begin, every line should begin with Ish, with the fellow's name. Parshandasa, Asposa, Adalia, Aspara, Parmashto. All the names should be at the beginning of the line rather than the end of the line or the middle of the line. That's what he taught. So they're different opinions. So the Vilna Gaon's taina, that he said that if you write in the Gila the way we do, you have empty spaces in between, and the empty spaces constitute a psucha shalevim kama, would passel the passel in the Gila. So the later post can point out, I think we once mentioned it from Rabbi Yossel Slutsky. He points out that the Gemara says in Menaches, that pasul of putting a psucha shalevim kaimai only pasuls in a sefer Torah. It doesn't pasul in the vim uksuvim. That was the problem that they had at that time in his days. Rabbi Yossel Slutsky was from the first Talmidim of Alojani Yeshiva. So at that time, the influence of the goyim was beginning to be felt, and they introduced in a lot of shuls kriyas hamegillah mitech haklaf. They used to read shir hashirim from a klaf, and echa from a klaf, and kohelas from a klaf. So Koheles, the Sofrim started their own practice. They write Eis la Ledes, Eis la Mus, Eis la Tas, Eis la Konatua, and they write it in two columns, as if it were a Shira. We don't have any, and that's how it's printed in the Tanakh also, as if it's in two columns. We don't have any Maser that is supposed to be written like that. So many Gdolim Tainit, what do we accomplish by reading from a Megillas Koheles that has these two columns? It's possible anyway, so may as well read from the printed Chumash. You don't gain anything, because when they write it like that, they have an empty space in the middle of it where it doesn't belong. The empty space is a psucha shalavim kaima, and a psucha shalavim kaima pasul. So they were the Gdolim in Europe were talking about this in the early 1800s. So this Rabbi Yossel Slutsky was ma'ira that it's a beferish gemara menachas that says that psul of a psucha shalavim kaima only is limited to sefer Torah. Doesn't apply to Koheles, and Mele doesn't apply to Megillah. Says that's what we rely on. Even though we have empty spaces in between our Aseres Benehamim where they don't belong, we rely on that Gemara that it doesn't pass outside of the Sefer Torah.
Oh boy.